Riot Kirkman, you fuck.
Hello and welcome to episode 245 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where a small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the upcoming Indigo Park, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello!
And the man who always makes the spice flow, it's Tony Esmond.
Hey!
I'm being plagued by Johnny Cannon, who I've just told us that I'm recording, and we had a conversation earlier about Billy Idol. Now he's literally sent me about 8 Billy Idol facts.
All right, then.
Did you know he was born in Middlesex?
No.
What other famous person was born in Middlesex?
Don't know.
Me?
There you go.
His
favourite song is Hot in the City, says Johnny Cannon. Yeah. I think he got quite excited because I sat next to him on a plane once.
So what, are you saying that's Johnny Cannon's favourite song?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, do artists normally say that's my favourite song about their own songs?
I don't know.
Not often, do they?
Yeah.
Newest song, isn't it? Yeah. I don't suppose Billy Idol cares that he can barely remember his fucking name, probably, the amount of gear he's done.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Much like us.
Just in case he's listening.
We've got an audience. Oh, hello, folks. Welcome to the show. We're going to entertain you for the next couple of hours, hopefully, talking about comics. As we speak in this day and age, there's a lot of things going on in the world, which we're not gonna dwell on it too much.
No.
Just look after yourself. Stay hygienic. I think that's terrible. You know, the fact that you have to tell people to be hygienic is terrible in the first place, isn't it? And just take care of yourself and enjoy your bunkers, because we're in the ACP bunker as we speak. We've locked the door and we're not allowed out for 6 months. And I've just discovered that neither of these two bought toilet roll.
You got to do what builders do. I don't know why everyone's panicking about this. The old builder's trick, isn't it? If you're in the loo, one of the porta cabins on site, and there's no loo roll, just take one sock off. Classic trick.
That sickens me to my very core.
I told you about the time I was in a pub, didn't I? And I found a sock in there, and someone wiped their bum on it. I told the barman, and he came and picked it up like you do with the dog poo. You know, you reverse the carrier bag and tie it. And it was like 3 a.m. we're in the lock-in, and he was just throwing it at each other as hard as we could.
Because
there was all air in it, trying to get it to burst on people.
What? How old are you?
That was what drinking will do to you, my friend. Don't drink. Not clever.
I've found just use a flannel and then get your other half to wash
what
it after
the
use.
What fucking hell is going on?
Going
you absolute pigs. You're animals. Animals.
To be fair, I'm a vegetarian, so it don't take long.
We've been doing this almost 5 years. Mm. I would have thought in that time you would have learned just the smallest amount of social courtesies.
What?
But no. If anything, you've regressed.
I was in the office yesterday, and there was a load of bark on the back of the toilet, and I hate that. Just use a brush. Do you know what I mean?
That's a bit grim.
God.
That's grim.
But
if you're stuck indoors.
Yeah.
For a number of weeks. You know what you can read?
Comics.
Via a digital medium.
I mean, as you can tell, folks, that within the first 5 minutes, they've destroyed my confidence in.
Talking about doing bangers.
What this episode is
going to
be.
Now we're on to Comic House.
I mean, you know, there's Comic House are our sponsor. You know, they sponsor this show, and they're the indie comic marketplace.
Bangers and mash.
We're the difference.
Because people worried about like the lack of toilet roll. I've got loads of 90s Image comics, so I'm fine.
Someone's posted that picture. There's like a joke going around with that, isn't there? Have you seen that?
Yeah, there's a place in America, wasn't it? There's a billboard that sort of says, if you run out of toilet roll, we have loads of 90s comics.
Yeah, you've got Bad Rock and Company. It's fine. Darker Image.
I'd imagine some of those chromium covers wouldn't be very good, would they?
They'll cut you down then. See you now.
But digital comics won't cut you, and you can read loads of them on the Comic
House
app.
On your iPad.
Can we just stop? We're going to stop. This is not going to be the arse episode. Although some people will argue that 245 episodes of the Awesome Comics podcast have been the arse episode, but No, this is the one where this is possibly the worst sponsorship ad we've ever done. So thank you, Comic House, for sticking with us. Like I say, they're the indie comic marketplace with a difference. If you go on to comichouse.com, there's a huge selection of titles on their database. Loads of people selling hard copies of their books. Mm. Some new stuff going out there recently that I've been seeing. Like, it's another avenue to sell. Yeah. And it's not just the digital, you know, it's another avenue to sell your hard copies as well. Especially in this day and age where, you know, more and more people it's another avenue to do it. You can list your book on there for free, start selling straight away. But they also have an app, and we highly, highly recommend this app. This, you know, is a fantastic app. More and more people are joining it, and there's so many great indie books on there, and the database is only growing. What's on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got Lima, Arc Song Issue 6, Soma Eden Volume 1, The Last Arrival, Volume 1, Nothing by Gareth Hopkins, Dino Beast, Won the Hunt, and Artist Angst, Volume 2. And also issue 1 of The Spark.
Yay!
Yeah.
And just want to clarify that that's the book Nothing by Gareth Hopkins, not
yes,
the fact that he hasn't
I read it today.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, nice.
I'm going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
man. In the recommendations, yeah.
Oh, that's something to look forward to. I mean, Gareth's work is always something to look forward to. But, yeah, if you're not checking out Comic House, I know a lot of the time we're preaching the converted, but if this is the first time you've listened to this show and you're still with us after the first 5 minutes we've just had, thank you.
But you are.
From the bottom of my
you're
heart.
You're the elite, the hardcore.
You are the best of people. And right now, you're the only hope I have.
I can't even put you off there. You just ignored me.
After a while. I mean, you're like a bully. I'm just ignoring you. Do you know what I mean?
If you're bullying me now.
If I don't react to you, then it won't hurt me. And what also doesn't hurt is a subscription to Comic House. It's only £3 a month. You get access to that huge library of digital indie comics, like we just mentioned there. There's so much more. And like we've said on the show before, it's not like those streaming services where you want to look for something and you think, oh, I'll read that, and then you go on your streaming service and it's not actually there. This stuff just stays there, and it's great. And also, you know, you will get a little bit of cheddar for it as well if you're a creator. You know, you do see more money from that app than I have from other digital apps.
I would definitely sign up for an app that paid you in cheese.
Maybe we should talk about that off air. But Comic House, £3 a month. There's a 14-day free trial. Find out more about it at comichouse.com. And definitely, now is the time to do it.
Watch, I bet Pete sends me a lump of cheese now because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
I would also find that funny, to be fair. Yeah.
Do you like a cheese board? I bet you like a cheese board.
I love a cheese board. I love a cheese board. I'd much rather have a cheese board than a dessert. I'll just go straight to cheese board and coffee. Sometimes that's all I have.
That's interesting. So you consider a cheese board not to be a dessert? You see it on the dessert menu, don't you? And I always think a cheese board
is not a dessert.
Course. Where were you dragged up? It's a separate course, the old cheese board. But I would. Yeah. You can't have both. It's too much, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Where was I dragged up? I'm just saying it's on menus. What do they do with me?
I've got to say, a nice refreshing sorbet before you move on to the cheese.
Daniel wants a sorbet.
David Walliams is back in the house.
Yeah. Danny Walliams.
Danny Walliams. No, I'm a lady.
That's slightly transphobic, that skit, isn't it?
Fucking hell. Have you seen he did another one, didn't he, for Sport Relief or something, didn't he?
Really?
Yeah, and it was a bit like that. You're like, oh, God.
Yeah. God.
I like the politician. Does it? Yes, and then I fell over and my penis went into his ear. I'm aware of the incident. That one. I love that one.
Oh, dear.
So we've got some questions to field, haven't we?
Yes.
That on the social medias.
Yeah, I mean, like most people out there, you know, plans are changing. We're adapting. What was the GIF you sent me, Dan?
Adapt, improvise, overcome.
And that's what Small Press does, and what this
show
does.
Who was the person in that picture?
Bear Grylls.
Bear Grylls. Yeah, the one who likes to put things up himself just to prove.
Isn't he a bit of a super Christian now or something? Isn't he?
I don't know. Actually, he's head of the old Boy Scouts, I think.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Let's not say any more, Dan, because I clearly upset him. He was going for that position.
It was our Kayla.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, so yeah, so some so we put out a last minute shout out to our lovely listeners on Twitter, and as always, they stepped up and absolutely smashed it. So we've got a few questions that we're going to answer. Some fun, some talking about like comics in general and stuff, but we're just going to entertain you for the next hour and a half. Now, the first thing before we get stuck in, though, I mean, there was a question kind of asking about it, but as we just speak now, this past weekend, there was Tom Ward, first ever guest on the Awesome Comics Pod. He's done these a couple of times before, has he, Dan? I think he's done.
I did the last one last year in July.
Yeah,
there's at least one, isn't there? Didn't he do it because he didn't get into MCM, so he thought, "Oh fuck it, I'll just do it on myself." Yeah. Is that right?
And what we're talking about?
There's been three.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is KitchenCon or hashtag KitchenCon, which is basically an online streaming kind of convention where loads of people just, well, they don't sign up, they just join in. As long as you can stream your you basically set up a table in your kitchen. And, you know, I think it was between 10 and 11 on, as we speak, it was on the 14th of March it happened.
It was quite late at night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite late at night. I think
we did a KitchenCon Nights.
Yeah, KitchenCon Nights, sure, isn't it? Yeah, it was Corona Nights, as it was called. Because obviously, as we speak, there is a lot of conventions and events, you know, big, small, whatever it is, you know, that are being cancelled or postponed or pushed back. So, and you're hearing, if you're aware of social media, if you're a small press creator on social media, then there's a lot of people out there talking about this, or, you know, what are they going to do, or they're having to cancel their events, especially like in the US, you know, with Emerald City, I think, was pushed back, wasn't it? That was cancelled.
It was cancelled, yeah, I think so, yeah.
So,
and Offset in a couple of weeks, which I was meant to be at, that's now cancelled.
The MCM is, I think, is pretty much everything's going to be going that way.
Yep. So there's quite a few, like MCM Birmingham was pushed back as well to June, I believe.
That's going to be expensive for them, you know, because I was coming down the M6 on Friday and they've got massive billboards, the sort of M6, M1 near there, M6, M32.
Yeah.
Yeah, really put a few quid into that.
So obviously, times being what they are, I've had a knock-on effect to all of these events. But Tom Ward stepped up, you know, obviously having done it a couple of times. He was like, right, let's put the power back in the hands of, like, the small press creators. And, you know, we small press and indie people, you know, give us a chance and we'll jump online and sell our wares. So, but what, I mean, Dan...
I watched some of it. Did you two watch any?
I watched some of it today because some of it is still streaming. Right. You can't.
Okay.
I think you can still watch.
You can do,
A previous video of it. I know that Gavin Emily of Happy Clam, they did a class one with lots of lights, and they were both dressed up, all dolled up to the nines. But Dan, for those people who don't know kind of what this is, you know, certainly some of our international listeners, you know, might be interested.
You did your semi-naked, didn't you?
I was wearing shorts because it was last year, July. It was fucking boiling.
Did you keep the mouse in the house?
Oh, hell yeah. Of course you did. God, there's a premium bloody channel for that. I ain't giving away that free. So essentially, like, you set up your table like you did at a convention. You got one camera watching you as kind of like looking at the whole setup. And then you got another screen there. And you, for the entirety of the con, you're fielding questions on Twitter, talking about your product. And just talking nonsense, really.
But what is the setup like? You know, obviously you have the table and you have your camera, but, you know, streaming, I haven't done something like this. I know the basics. I record this whatever we call this that we do every week. But for those who aren't technical minded, you know, what sort of things do you need to do? Because I think this is a fantastic idea, and we'll be seeing a few more of these.
Well, it's simple. You had the phone set up, and you do like. I can't remember how do you do the streaming on the app, but it's really simple. It's like one button, and you're streaming video on Twitter. You set up the tweet.
So it's literally streaming straight onto Twitter.
Straight onto Twitter. You put your tweet with the KitchenCon hashtag so people can find it.
Yeah.
And then I had another computer set up there on the same account. And if anyone asked any questions, I could see it and then answer it live. Talking to the camera.
Okay. Is it possible to have multiple people on your screen at the same time as if it was a convention, or do you have to sort of concentrate on one person?
Sadly not. Well, it'd be like you're just looking at a Twitter screen, and if anyone asks questions on there, you field the questions there. It would be great if you could like have all the people on the screen, and like, you click on one, you can visit the tables like that, rather than cycling through the hashtags.
Is there something you can do like you know, if there was a lineup, as it were, if you had a lineup of exhibitors, just create an online web page with a list of exhibitors, and if you clicked on the link, you're immediately taken to their table.
Could do.
Aaron's doing? Isn't this what Aaron Rackley's doing for?
Is that what he's talking about? Gotcha.
Yeah, he's doing like an online convention. Yeah.
Because you might be able to do something more with Twitch. I'm not too much into the streaming, I imagine someone who's a bit more sort of clued in might be able to do that kind of thing. Yeah.
But I think, you know, Tom Ward's been ahead of the game anyway, because like we say, he's done this. This is the third time, and you know, he knows kind of what he's doing. I mean, every time you do these sort of things, it's a learning anyway.
Yeah.
But and he's great at promoting. Like when he was immediately telling everyone, like all his followers on Twitter, here's all the exhibitors that are going to take place and stuff. You know, he's all about supporting the Indian small press, and it's a fantastic idea that one day I'd, you know, when I've got some stuff to sell.
You have to have an online shop or stuff ready to go, because you can't just say buy my stuff and people are like, well, where? Oh, I ain't got that sorted out yet.
Yeah,
you need to kind of have somewhere where they can go to and get that sale straight away.
Hmm. Yeah, so I, you know, it'd be nice to see more events like this. You know, and good on all the people that did it. Hopefully, you got a sale or two from them.
Can I be slightly controversial and say, if you're going to do it, can you have something to say?
Yeah,
because I'm not really into watching someone for an hour, generally. If they've got something interesting to talk about or show their process, more than 5 minutes is a bit of a waste for me, as you well know. But it's sort of, if you've got something to say, do prepare it. Don't just sort of sit there and, because I'm not interested in watching you talk at me for, people listening to this, listening to us talk, but we've prepared it somewhat, you know.
Yeah.
So if you're going to draw live, or you're going to run through your products and talk about each one, then okay, I can dig it, you know. But it's got to be more than a QVC advert.
Yeah,
that's a lot of the other people had like two people on camera, they could talk to each other and discuss stuff and talk.
Yeah, that's okay.
When I was on my Jack, when I did it last time, I found it fucking hard.
Yeah,
I saw Gareth Hopkins one, and he was funny, and he knew what he was doing, and he had a big box of cornflakes next to him.
Yeah, because you also. These are great for obviously getting your name out at a time where, you know, and also if there's people that just can't afford convention tables, can't make it to conventions, especially in the US, if you, you know, to go to a convention, you spend a lot of money. Things like this are really handy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's entertainment. If someone's watching a stream, or if they're doing anything, you know, it is also entertainment. So
to be more than just an advert, which only, let's face it, takes like 20 seconds.
Yeah. And just think about this. You know, when people come up to your table and they sort of say, oh, what's this? And you do your pitch, that pitch is probably 30 seconds.
God, at most.
Can you imagine stringing that out for an hour and a half? That's not going to work.
Nope.
So,
and also, you're not getting any feedback. You're talking to a camera.
Yeah.
Or your phone. So
yeah,
there's no follow-on questions or anything.
I mean, you can't tell whether they like it or not. If it's lagging a bit, you know, drop your trousers a bit, show one ball, you know, something like that.
It real.
Yeah. No. Maybe just bare a nipple or something like that.
That's a different convention, Tony.
I tell you what, I think there's legs in it. I think it might, the way it's done, might need to be. If you go on my Twitter feed, it's actually in there somewhere. You look at KitchenCon, you can find that video I did last year. I think the first words I say is, hey, it's fucking working.
And there are a lot of, like, as soon as it starts, because it's streaming immediately, there's a lot of it is people going, is it working? I think it's working.
There's a lag on it, isn't it? There was a time lag on nearly everyone.
That's part and parcel. Do you know what I mean? There's always, you know, if any of us did it, like Dan said, we're going to be like, oh, it's working. Thank God. You know,
technically. I think that was a bit late for it, to be fair.
Yeah, kind of. When I initially saw Tom said 10 to 11, I thought, that's fine, 10 to 11 in the morning. When I realised it was the evening, I was like, oh, fuck, I was doing something. I tried to shift, but I couldn't really do it.
Yeah.
So, but 10 to 11, most people were like on a Saturday at least.
I think any time that Ant and Dex on television is a good time to run one of them.
But no, we hope everyone that took part had a great time. Sold a few issues of the comic.
We'd love to get a bit of feedback, actually, on it in the group.
Yeah, so obviously, whether it be on our Twitter or on our Facebook group, Awesome Comics Talk, if you took part, or if you bought a comic from one of these streams, or you just enjoyed the interaction, let us know. Keep the conversation going, because we're certainly interested in how these things are going to develop. And once again, spot on to Tom and everyone that took part for doing it, because it's
10 out of 10.
It's cracking stuff.
Can I just, a quick aside, the Awesome Comics group, I was doing that portrait challenge. All the photos should have gone out by now. There's one or two that I'm just going to hoover up, but that's running as is.
Do people know who they've got?
No, I do. It's kind of like a Secret Santa kind of gig, as in like...
Oh, is someone grassed?
No. Like you know who you're drawing, but you don't know who's drawing you.
Yeah,
that's what
Dan
I wanted.
Told me who I'm drawing.
Yeah,
I know that. I know I know you're drawing. Yeah.
I don't know who's got me.
All right.
Obviously, there's one exception, me, because I know who's drawing me.
You're always the exception, Dan. There's a T-shirt, Dan Butcher, always the exception, never the rule. But what's the deadline for this?
3rd of March.
3rd of March. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, April.
Great Scott, Marty. Yeah. I can't do that.
It's April 1st, April Fool's Day.
Oh, okay.
Nice. What a great day for it.
Talking of fucking cringe, that bloody Back to the Future fucking thing was on that sports relief. And I had to tell like Zoe, you got to turn this off. This is killing me. They did like a Back to the Future musical. You just reminded me of that great Scott line. As I just brought back.
I can't watch any of those fucking comic relief or any of that shit. No.
It's like a night of comedy, and there's no fucking laughs.
It's funny. No. Yeah. Oh, let's send these like minor celebrities to the Sahara, and they can bicycle about for a bit.
Yeah.
Why don't we just give the money to a hospital?
The best ones are that Ricky Gervais sketch. Have you seen it done years ago, where like he green screens himself in Africa? And like all these celebrities trying to get in on it to like flog their product. It's really good.
Amazing.
It's on YouTube. Check that one out. That's a good laugh.
I've completely forgotten what I was going to say now. I think
derailed that a bit.
Yeah.
Go on.
In terms of like a charity, stream and or whatever things like that. Do you think we should do something like that one day? Like a 24-hour one. I know Stacey's Parlour, she does it every year. She does a 24-hour.
Speaking of Stacey's Parlour.
Hey?
That's when you promised to do a dance.
That's true. I was wondering who I promised that to. Yes. All right. Okay. I'll do it. Fuck it.
Cliff Cumber brought that up. It's question one out of the way. I'll take that one off.
I know. Sometimes.
Box ticked.
Yep. All right. Okay.
Dance promised.
If you do a dance for more than 2 minutes...
Than 2 minutes.
I will give £30 to the charity of your choice.
This isn't the finale of Beauty and the Beast.
£30.
£30.
I will give £30, and I know our listeners will match that. So if we can, let's say we can get up to £200, you've got to do a dance for 2 minutes and post it on the Facebook page. How's that?
Fuck.
I'll put in money on that.
Good. Yeah.
For the 2 minutes. Fuck it.
No, keeping your foot still and just moving your fingers. It's got to be a proper.
Well, there'll be a little bit of that, but as well as other things.
I know you got to get in the mood. You know what I mean? Get the juices flowing. Get the sex on.
Excellent. Look forward to that this week.
Yep.
No, hang on. We're not necessarily going to do it this week.
What, don't you like dead children? What's wrong with you?
No, I don't like dead children. I'd like there to be less dead children.
Oh, you want them to die?
No, I like them not to die. That's why I don't like them.
Oh, you don't like puppies? Oh, you don't like Africans? What's wrong with you? Do a dance.
What a combination of fucking minutes that was. Anyway, from that nonsense... And seriously, folks, if you can earn £200 for charity, I will do this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Oh, you got 30 from me. Damn, done.
30?
Yeah, I'll put 30.
I didn't know you really want to see me dance.
Yeah, I do. I want to give money to baby puppies.
Up with a civil charity.
I mean, it's going to be an animal charity of some kind.
Yeah, Dogs Trust.
No. We'll talk about that off air.
Okay. But speaking, we'll see that this week, real.
Yes, speaking of animals, you sexy animals.
Well, I'm just going to go now. I think my job here is done.
speaking of animals, you sexy animals pigs. Out there.
What you say?
Look, I'm trying to get us back on track. Right, okay. You
lovely
people.
That was Christian Wild Goose reference. He said, like, three little pigs.
Oh yeah.
So let's start off with that.
Let's do that question.
Yeah, let's start off with that question. Okay. Okay. Chris Wildgoose at Mr. Rictus. He's a decent comic artist, isn't he? He's doing all right for himself, that sexy boy.
I did.
He sent a question to us, and he said, the corona apocalypse has turned the world inside out while you're all together at a comic mart. People eating people. Lou Roll and pasta is gone forever. All three of you decide to go to one awesome Potter's house to hold and defend, like three little pigs. Whose do you go to first?
Now, I know you're going to say mine because you just want to go through my comic collection, but
I will tell you this. My house, I absolutely adore it, but it wouldn't be able to fortify it.
Right.
Yeah. I think...
Wonder Jo's handy with a knife, isn't she?
I mean, you know, she's the only reason we survive it at all. Do you know what I mean? But...
I've messaged Jo this week. She's not replied yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't tell me that.
About Blackpool.
Oh, God.
I live in East Grinstead, so that's like ground zero for shit going down.
So what you're saying is you'll be dead.
Yeah, I'm pretty much dead.
I live in a tallish house in the country, so we could stay at the top, and the room at the top is just comics, pure comics. Yeah.
All right.
But as you well know, there's rules in my house. We have to top and tail if we're going to sleep, and we all have to sleep in the same bed. Fine. And this is what happens when Vince comes over, and you have to wander about in your house shorts.
I mean, I just got an image of, like, you know, Rainbow, where they all share a bed.
Like Morecambe and Wise. All with a pipe.
Yeah.
Well, one concern obviously would be Sharknado.
Yeah, he's a bastard.
Yeah.
He bit me on the nose last week.
Fucking hell.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, so that's the answer, Chris.
So the answer is we're either doing
Chris
that
to my house,
or we're going to Chris Wildgoose's house.
He's got a very defendable house. Nice little in the country.
Mean,
yeah.
I mean, look, the drive.
Well, I'll say house, mansion.
Yeah, I was about to say the drive in is about a 2 mile drive, isn't it?
Yeah. It's actually a long drive into his house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all barricaded in. You guys could write Cat's Vince's Cat Army and
he'd force him to draw it.
Yeah. We'll turn up. It'll be like the Purge. We'll just turn up and force him to do.
Where are we going with this?
Somebody stop me.
Anyway, moving on to the next question.
Yes, moving on to the next question. Go on, Tony. Right. Which one do you want to ask first?
How about favourite comic from the 80s? This is from Kirk Spencer. Nice to hear from Kirk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good lad. Favourite comic from the 80s that no one talks about? Oh, I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
Shogun Warriors.
I know of that one, but I don't know.
Kind of got a sort of pseudo religious thing going on, but it's people operating huge mecha robots done by Marvel. It was for a time it was integrated into the Marvel universe. There was little appearances of other characters, and I think Godzilla appears in it, the Champions crossover with it. There's a little bit of the Avengers going on with it. And it's a really well done comic. Herb Trimpey's brilliant. And I have to say, Doug Mensch is the person I most want to meet that I've never met. And obviously with his Master of Kung Fu stuff, he's probably one of my favourite writers ever. It's just really good. I think it's like 19 issues or something like that, I think. Mm. Something like that. It's not a long run. But yes, it's really good. And I really love it. And it's one of those sort of constants that I know I got Matt Harrow into reading it because he loves the sort of mecha robot thing. And it's sort of a comic mark constant. Whenever I see an issue, I pick something up because either I won't have it or Matt won't have it.
Mm.
That's my one. What about you guys?
Well, the thing is, I was between 1 and 10 in the 80s. So I'm going to stick to the standard one, which is the one I always harp on about, and that's Stormforce.
Oh, you love that name.
Yeah, which was obviously like my favourite and is, you know, just growing, and I just absolutely love it. And it's one of those ones that, because of the nature of it, you know, it was thought up to fill the sort of gap that Action Force left when that left Battle. So a lot of people just look at it as like a cheap knockoff. You know, I can understand some of the criticisms, but I don't care. I absolutely love it. I love all the characters, and it's just, yeah, Stormforce. And I know there are, when I've mentioned it on the show before, there's a lot of people who have listened who have shouted out, God, I love that. I love that strip. So that's always good to hear.
I think sometimes when you got nothing to lose, you know, like that's what happened to Spider-Man, wasn't it? Like they were going to close it all down, so he did Spider-Man. He really had much to lose. Or there's little things that happen. You think, fucking hell, that's a bit mental. Have you ever seen the last series of Heroes? You know, the TV series. Yeah. They just go nuts in that one because they just no great. One cared. You know?
Yeah.
And you get that with like the comics that are on the fringes. That you know, like the Elementals and DNA agents, and you know, some of the books that are a little bit on the fringes that nobody's really fussed about, but it's got like a little core audience. They can just do what they like, really, and be more imaginative rather than stick to the mainstream. I think sometimes
I've sort of come across that, like coming across comics, and I read some, and I think this isn't really taking any chances, and it's not doing anything that someone hasn't done before and better.
Yeah,
it's like just fucking put your foot down, and go for it a bit more.
I completely agree. And look at this. One of the good example is that the Immortal Hulk at the moment. Hulk has never been a big seller. You know, it's always been a sort of fairly constant book that sort of disappeared and then has come back in a number of different runs over the sort of last 15 years. Yeah. But with Immortal Hulk, they kind of gave him free reign, and it's just he turned it into Al Ewing turned it into sort of a horror book.
Yeah, that's great.
It's one of those sort of ones. Yeah,
I think there's a lot of. And these are just broad strokes, of course, folks. But there's a lot of writers now who come up and they probably think, "Oh, I loved reading this writer when I was coming up. I want to write a book like them." So they're kind of doing their version of someone else's book when they should really do their own.
Yeah.
You know? Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, this goes for all of us. I wanna write a book like Warren Ellis. Well, that's all well and good, but Warren Ellis is writing Warren Ellis books, so you don't need to.
Yeah. The one you see the most of is I want to write a book like Mark Miller. Now, Mark Miller's not even doing a good version of himself these days. So.
I mean, with Mark Miller, though, you never know. It, all of a sudden, it will just come back.
It'll be a mad one,
amazing stuff.
I'm going to talk about my 80s comic, A Runner Cap, that I didn't read at the time, but I've since gone back, or like 20 odd years ago I bought these, and it's the Captain America when he gets addicted to a meth drug called ice, and it's in a run called Streets of Poison.
Okay, yeah, I know the one. Yeah,
he basically, like, I think he's in a warehouse
in it, and
and there's an explosion, and basically this kind of like drug that's powderized bonds to the super soldier serum. And over this series of these issues, he starts fucking losing his shit.
I mean, that makes sense, because 80s is obviously like the cocaine boom. Yeah. And like, you know, watch action films, and it was all drug dealers and stuff. Drugs were so prevalent.
With their sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
And he's getting like, stuff like that. More and more paranoid, and he starts turning on the people around him. And eventually, I can't remember how they grab him, but basically siphon out the super soldier serum. Mm. So he's just like a normal dude.
Doesn't he go into like, he gets an armor? Doesn't he get like 90s armor at some point in that?
Oh, I think that's well later on.
Okay. But that's an epic collection, isn't it?
Yeah.
Answer me this though, Dan. This is a good example of like when a hero starts to lose their shit, and I'm talking about male heroes here, and you'll understand why in a second. You know, when they start to get paranoid or become addicted to drugs, did he all of a sudden get heavy stubble very quickly?
Yeah, he's like, I bet he did. In a couple of days, got stubble.
Yeah, that's always the go-to
stubble,
sign.
Stubble, sweating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have your clean-cut hero, just grow a bit of stubble, and all of a sudden they got personal problems.
That's also a shortcut to say they're tired or something. Yeah. Isn't it? It's like a... Yeah.
Unfortunately, they retcon the story like almost immediately in the next series of books. It's, they put the super soldier serum back, it was fine. But, okay. Because I think it's a lot more interesting if Cap's like a normal bloke.
But, I wonder if you can get that in any collections.
You can. So now I'll just say it's Epic Collection.
Oh.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good, it's good run.
Yeah.
Nice.
Name another Marvel character who got his or their powers from the Super Soldier Serum.
Oh, God.
See, this is just going to show up how terrible.
No, it's fine. It's an unusual one. Man Thing.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. Trying to recreate it. Yeah,
Didn't go very well, did it?
No.
He ended up looking like that Hoover from Teletubbies.
One thing I never liked about in some of the Marvel was that unlimited wrestling league stuff.
Yeah.
And then they used to like give them like these people superpowers so they could wrestle. And it's like, why would you do that?
I suppose purely because wrestling was mental big at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Mental big. God, you're so cool, aren't you, Tony? Right, okay. What's that?
If you can flip a tank over your bare hands, you think, yeah, no, let's take this into a wrestling league. Oh yeah, that sounds a good idea. Oh well.
Yeah. Shall we do the Russell Mark Olsen question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So we've been talking about comics being a movement recently, haven't we?
Yeah.
Now, what do you do? What's the best thing to do? Do you allow it to grow organically or organise it? Thoughts?
Do you want to go, V?
You go first, Dan.
Okay, I would love for it to be centralised and organised a bit more so we could start. There'd be one place to pick up the comics that we're all selling, or one place to hear about all the news and stuff like that. I personally don't think it can be done, and I'm not sure if...
Why don't you think so, dude?
Because we're all individuals, all different ideas and goals. I just don't think it would work.
I'm with you. I think growing all organically is great, but we're hitting a ceiling. We're hitting this moment because there's more and more creators. I was going to say more and more conventions, but obviously, you know, it feels like more and more people are creating comic books than ever before, certainly in my purview. But there's less money to go around. There's less, sometimes you don't. I'm sure there's my favorite creator out there who I have not discovered yet, you know. And sometimes when you discover someone, you're like, oh, how did I not know about this sooner? So, you know, how do you fix that? I mean, I think, obviously, we are all about trying to spread the word as much as we can on this show. And I know many other shows, websites, and everything are all about, you know, shouting out about indie comics in general. So if you read, you know, if you read those and you like those, tell someone about them, no matter what it is, because that's the... It's all about word of mouth. That's why we call it the recommendation section on this show. So, and that's how... I mean, I've spent a lot of money based on what people have recommended to me. So, and I think that's, you know, a recommendation can be lifeblood to the indie scene. It certainly is. How many times have you been at a convention and someone has come back, you know, you've been co-tabling with someone, for instance, and your tabler has gone off for a little wander around the convention. They've come back and they've bought some books. You've immediately gone, where the hell did you get that? Yeah. Who is that person? Yeah. Where is their table? And then you've gone off and bought it, and you've discovered a new creator. I mean, that's happened to me quite a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the way to go. I think there's levels of organising in there. I don't think we need... I personally don't want to be part of something. But I don't mind being able to... It being available to me. And, that's how I feel about it.
I think the way of... Or an organisation kind of like... a union or something like that, I don't think that would work.
No.
Whereas something less a union, more a hub, which is, you know, so the one-stop shop, as it were. I mean, I put shop in parentheses, but...
yeah, I think which is what Comic House is, isn't it, in a way?
I'd like to think it's becoming that.
Yeah.
I think like that, like things like that are handy, and, you know, that's why we support it so much, even though, you know, we do joke about the sponsorship ads, but I think that is a great place.
Yeah.
That more people need to know about. And I think, you know, they're putting in great work, and there are other people, like, there's no doubt similar people in the States, you know, shouting about their indie scene, or, you know, or abroad, wherever in the world. Because, you know, we're in this bubble of, like, the UK scene in a certain aspect.
We are just a group of people who've decided to make comics. That's the essentially just or be fans of, in some cases.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't be any kind of gatekeeping or application process or to that's become part of it. I think that's part of the problem. And have you seen some of the people out there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what fucks me off when people give the small press and stuff stick for not being like not having this and not having that.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's all inclusive. Anyone can make a comic and be involved. Yeah. There's no gatekeeping.
It's almost like you just want a big list of creators and comics and stuff, and just sort of saying check these people out. But without anyone sort of saying, well, you know, why have you got this person on this? You know, without sort of saying yes and no to people. There's, you know, if only there was one place where you could just go and just sort of click away and discover creators. Is this an interest?
I think the problem as well is there's no line between pro and indie these days, is there?
No.
Because even people who, some people who work for the big companies are doing it part time. They have other jobs.
Yeah. A lot of people are. Yeah. Most of them are. Most of them.
I feel like that's kind of a definite meeting in the middle where the pro element has kind of gone down some.
To reach us, yeah.
But the small press has also risen.
From a financial point of view as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
It's a freelance community across the board. Mm. There are those people that sometimes have exclusive contracts, or you know, they work in house with some of these big publishers. But let's face it,
it doesn't have to be like that now. But that's across the board with all employment now. Mm. It's the kind of way it's done is changing.
Yeah,
but
we're going to announce later a pro artist who's working on a small press book. Mm.
Yeah,
you know.
There you go.
So.
Yeah,
I'm glad it's growing, and I'm over the moon that it's growing, and we're only seeing better work. And just in the span of the amount of time we've been doing this for, which is almost 5 years, the work has increased. You know,
I like the idea of sort of smaller units of creators coming together. You know, and sort of interconnecting and just sort of like not being studios, as it were, but sometimes. Creators sort of come together and they start shouting about each other's work. And I know, you know, certainly some of them create studios, like I know Ram V and I've forgotten Ryan O'Sullivan,
Packnado and all that lot.
They're part of one, and you know, no doubt, you know, they're all working out of one place. And for instance, we heard about one on the last show, the Scrawl Lords, who came together. We may have laughed about it, but that's genuinely a bunch of creators who have come together and are going to support each other.
Well, I've got something to talk about. Well, probably be next week now, I think. But yeah, there's something coming from me around that. Mm. And also, I like the way that, for example, Avery Hill are also responsible for distribution for Retrofit Comics, you know, in the UK. I think we can share a little bit of the distribution and sales at tables and stuff like that. I think there needs to be more of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't see any worry in sharing that side of things.
Mm. Yeah. It's definitely an interesting conversation. It's a brilliant question that's got no concrete sort of answer, really, has it?
Definitely
interesting. I knew Russell was going to stump us.
Yeah, that's all right, though. I mean, we've had that. To be fair, that's not a question we haven't had before.
Yeah.
And we've talked a bit, and I steadfastly have always pretty much always said that I don't want to be part of an organisation, but I don't mind a loose distribution network. I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah.
Would
you be part of a group? For instance, I was just saying some creators come together, you know.
My counter question would always be who's in the group, mate. Do you know what I mean?
That's the whole point of these groups. It's like-minded individuals. So if you came
together. We're a group, aren't we? We are.
Yeah. You know. Well, we're a boy band.
Yeah. I'm the drummer.
You're the drummer. Come on. Yeah. We don't play our own instruments.
Or each other's. The that rumor is not true.
Yeah.
I don't mind being part of a group because I think you have to be, because I have to, as a just a purely a writer, I have to collaborate with people anyway. So I'm part of that. You know, we're part of the Spark thing. We're doing that. We're part of the thing we're doing. That I don't think you've announced yet that you're helping me and a couple of other people on. I'm doing something with Adam Faulp. I'm doing something with Nick Prolix. You know, there's little groups of people.
But you know, what you're saying there is more collaborations, lots of individual collaborations.
I think you've got to really get on with someone, with a group of people to go beyond that. I think if you wanted to, for example, we decided to form a small publishers, I think you have to be happy and practiced, and it has to be tried out as to whether you actually get on. Because, I mean, we've seen it over the course of this show, a number of groups of creators have got together and broken up quite quickly. Mm. You know, it does happen, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But good question. So thank you, Russell, as always. You are... No, I was about to quote Train Guy then. I absolutely love the Bob Mortimer Train Guy videos.
Oh, you like them, do you?
Yeah. Amazing. So what question shall we have next?
Should we go to another one?
Yeah.
Shall I look one up? Yeah. Comic Art Podcast. Mm-hmm. Ian and Nikki, thank you. Don't worry, we're coming for you after this week's episode.
Yeah.
Favourite piece of art on our walls at home?
Okay, this is quite timely as well, because Dan Butcher's just started mounting art and putting it on his walls.
I've got a couple of test frames and a couple of things off of some sellers on eBay, relatively cheap frames. So I've put up this week, I've got a picture from a print from Neil Ford from Gris Gristle, one from Daryl Thorpe, and a piece of original art, a Bloodshot drawing that Johnny Cannon did me, which is absolutely ace.
Nice. Oh, I saw that. I love that. Bloodshot's great. Well, they're all great, but I really like that Bloodshot one. Yeah, you stopped messaging me now, so I'm quite happy. As I admitted that I was from Middlesex, and he keeps asking me questions about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got a few frames up in the studio where I record this, so I'm always looking at artwork all the time. I got a few prints, and I do absolutely love them all. If I had to pick one piece, though, it would probably be the original by Alfie Gallagher that I've got in a frame. That's of MacReady from the Thing.
Oh yeah.
With a giant sort of monster behind him.
Nice.
Sort of ink washes and just absolutely beautiful stuff. And it was, okay. it was partly also, there's a little bit of pride as well. I mean, obviously, I'll go for an absolute song. Alfie's fucking amazing artist.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was one of those, I happened to be in the right place at the right time when he was like, oh, I'm looking to do some commissions. You know, who wants one? So I jumped on immediately when he did a stupid deal.
Oh, that's right. This is a couple of years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah, and because of when I got it, I was like, check this out. And because of that, he got a few more commissions in.
Nice.
We don't see enough of his work at the moment, do we? We haven't seen him recently.
No, he's always...
I did buy his sketchbook recently. That's fucking lovely.
Oh, did you? I think I missed out.
Yeah. I think he's still selling it, but give him a shout.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can put it in the show notes.
Good. Mine's... I got a page... I've got a few original Master Kung Fu pages, which is my jam. So I've got a page from the last issue. Master of Kung Fu 125, which is drawn by Alan Kupperberg, and it is inked by Mike Mignola, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
One of his really early works, and because that's a real sort of it's a real important issue for me, that last issue. I love that page. You can stare at that all day. And I've also got a picture of the three of us with John Wagner in my eyesight.
Yes, I've got that too. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I tell you what I like to do. I like to used to be that comic conventions would do posters. So I've got a New York Comic Con poster from, I think it's 2006, can't quite see from here, and I've got that one I went to in LA. I've got the poster of that framed.
Oh, nice.
Which I quite like as well.
Yeah. You don't think about it, but they are, you know, it's like a gig, isn't it? It's like a memory.
Yeah, exactly.
I
managed to make it back with it without it getting fucking whacked.
And there are conventions that do like their t-shirts and stuff. I know Thought Bubble have a merch table.
Yeah,
it's strange. It's something that with conventions, I think nothing. If I go to a music gig, I think nothing of like getting a t-shirt or something like that. If I want one, but with a convention, I don't have that mindset. Is that weird? I mean,
I always get one at New York. I get a New York t-shirt every year, which have gone downhill because they used to be sponsored by a comic company. So one had. Do you remember when Spider-Man had that armor?
Yeah.
One's that on it, and one's got Ghost Rider on it because the movie had just come out with Nick Cage, and you know they these days they're just sort of fairly bland. Like one's made to look like the fucking New York subway sign, and you know it's like that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Not as good now, but I used to buy them every year. Yeah.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, it's a nice little memory.
That really is. Yeah. Yeah. No, I really like that. Yeah.
I have to take it back because I was saying about prints. Like I don't like. Can't see the point of giving away prints with Kickstarters, and now I've been scrambling around looking for stuff to put in the frames. That's me eating my words.
Yeah, but I think I'd like also, to go... If you've got frames, though, one of the exciting things, especially when you've got a certain set of frames, like I've got six up on my wall, but sometimes it's cool just to refresh them and just change a bit of the artwork. Yeah. So then
I've only got so much space, so I have to sort of change them around a little bit. Yeah. I've got a row in the back room. I've got like a back room full of long boxes, and I've got I swap them over with the ones in there, sort of thing.
Ah, gotcha.
I mean, the issue I've got is that, like the frames I have are A3, and sometimes like if I want to pick up a nice a cool A3 print from an artist, sometimes they can get really pricey. And I know obviously the artwork's amazing and worth it and stuff, but that sometimes prices me out of it. Sometimes I'd rather get a book. Than spend £15-20
or just even a smaller sketch sometimes cheaper. Yeah. Who's that crazy artist that we like, Dan, the one who does all the pictures of people with boners and people scoring their own hands off and all that sort of thing? You got a book.
I can't remember. He's great.
I looked to buy some of his prints. They're pretty expensive.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're not cheap, those ones.
Is that one I'm thinking of with the smiling people?
Yeah, that's him. Coelho, or I can't remember his name. Have you seen the one he's put out today of like the top edge of the picture is just the two bum cheeks, and then everyone's holding their cameras up to take a picture of it, and there's a bit of poo on each of the cameras.
Oh,
on the phones.
God.
Oh, I was reading that book on the train, and I was laughing. I had to close it because I was like, some of this is a bit much.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Some of this is a bit much.
A woman with a baby hanging out of her.
Yeah.
Because
you only have to glance at those images and you can take it in what it is.
Yeah.
Like a lot of stuff you can say, oh, people won't know what that is, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I treat myself to like getting it. If I get a really nice page, I treat myself to getting it framed. Mm. And I do that every so often. I've got a couple sort of lined up ready to be framed. There's a framing place near me that I take them into, and I know they're going to do a good job. You know, it's a bit like that sort of thing. But if you've got an ink or even a pencil sketch, you shouldn't leave it on the wall too long because the light will fade it. Which is one of the reasons I refresh it around a bit.
It does, like, if you put them in direct sunlight, it can fuck them up, unless you pay a lot of money for that glass that stops all that.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I've got one of those, which is a Dave Gibbons did me a commission, just a freebie, actually, as a sort of present, and it's a Batman he did me, and you don't see many Dave Gibbons Batman, so I got sort of special glass for that one.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I think, like, if I'm getting a print from a Kickstarter or stuff, I've got no problem with that, leaving it up there, and... nice one. I do like the original art in frames.
Yeah, I love it, man. I'll tell you what I've got as well is I've got those Hot Flips sleeves, like the clear plastic sleeves you can get all different sizes of, which I have a little store of. When I go to New York or a big convention, I'll take a few in my bag, in my suitcase. And they do quite well as being sort of small, you know, like frames just for, you know, a few months. So I'll lean them up on the top of the bookshelf or something like that.
Right.
I do a bit of that as well, which is quite... It saves you having to get a frame, and you can swap them over quite quickly, and I'll just use it like that. I've got a couple of lobby cards. I've got a Dune movie poster, and I've got a big book card as well, which I've got up.
As you well know, I've been crowing about this. I've got an A2 Dune poster turning up this week and frame.
I bet she don't let you put it in the front room.
No, it's going to go out in the old garage.
I've got the one that's got the narrated bit from the start of the movie.
Oh, nice one. Okay.
The beginning is a difficult time, whatever that quote is, you know, and it sort of goes through that. Yeah, it's like one of those with them standing on the dunes underneath him. And is it Jani? Is that her name? I forget.
Chani.
Yeah, Chani's him. Him.
Everyone's all going to be at the dune later this year.
They are. We're ahead of the game, my friend. Yeah. We're well ahead.
I'm
struggling to get into. I've finished God Emperor, and I thought that was fucking ace. But I'm struggling a bit with Heretics.
I found Heretics quite a hard going. Heretics is the one that goes. No, it's is it God Emperor is the one with all the clones, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Duncan Idaho clones. Wait till you get to Chapter House. I did find Chapter House quite a lot. I had to finish it, but I did find it hard quite a hard going. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's an interesting one. Yeah, like kind of. It was weird. I was reading some of the comments about. Now the Dune podcast, talking about God Emperor, and they were saying like how like there's not a lot goes on in it, and is like, have you not read any of the other Dune books?
There's lots of politics.
There's not a lot of action. If anything action happens, it's very quick.
Well, this ties into our next question. Alan Henderson asks, what books does everyone else rave about, but you just don't get what all the fuss is about?
I don't know whether this is just because I'm sort of grumpy and I like to take the opposite opinion of things, but I did try The Wicked and Divine and I just found it baby talk. I was like, why does everyone think this is brilliant? It's just, I don't understand. It's just, it seems fucking perfectly obvious to me, you know. It's like, I don't know, maybe I just don't like the style of art and writing. It just and I know it's got a huge fan base, you know, it's got like a sort of really sort of driven fan base. It just did for me.
I think there's some like classics that, you know, because classic is such a strange term, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of them that for me suffer under the weight of what everyone else says or like, you know,
I think it's about expectations. It might be because everyone had said it was so brilliant. I went to read it and I thought, hang on a minute, this ain't that brilliant. What's that all about? Yeah. You know, I think people gush about stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, and you think, what about you two? Come on, you got to name a title, you two.
Someone mentioned it either last week or the week before. It was Ronin by Frank Miller.
Right.
And like, I can't remember, they was talking about it. A lot of people saying, oh, I quite like this. And I was just like, it's completely such a meh book. Just got
really?
Nothing. Yeah, it doesn't bother me whatsoever, that book. I don't find it.
Now, did you read that before you read Dark Knight?
After.
After. I I don't know if it's maybe because there's that natural progression from Daredevil to that to Dark Knight. I don't know.
Okay. It might be because like, I was going through like the Frank Miller phase and I was getting pretty much it.
Yeah.
One of the last ones. I was just like, meh, I'm not really too fussed by this.
Okay. I shouldn't say this, but I prefer it to Dark Knight.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But I think because I hit it at the period when I hadn't read really any manga. Because it came out, Miller was kind of ahead of his time and was, you know, maybe I'd read a bit of Domu or Akira or something like that, but not very much at all. And then I read that and I'm like, oh my God. And I think I was easily impressed because I was at an impressionable age, but that fold out bit that comes out at the end, I thought, that's really interesting. Yeah.
You really liked Elektra, but I can remember reading that relatively recently. And this was like, okay, it's all right. It's not like
what, when Elektra's
first class? I was actually fucking blown away by it. But like now, I'm just like, oh yeah, it's okay. What it is?
It was very experimental for the time, wasn't it? For what we were reading, anyway.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, come on, V. You got to name a title.
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there is that. I think the important thing about the question is it doesn't. You know, you're not saying that it's shit. You just, it's not for you, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason.
Got to be a reason it's not for you as well, obviously.
I think the biggest name one for me that I can think of is Watchmen.
Really? Okay. I can see that, man.
Yeah. I think there are people out there just sort of like, yeah, I can take it or leave it. To clarify, you know, obviously what it is for the genre cannot be, you know, it's obviously what it's done and, you know, the what came after it and stuff. But I know, Tony, you were reading it at the time and it's, you know...
In issues,
it was probably a completely different feeling and, like... But then when you read it after a lot of time of, you know, years and years of build-up. So when I first read it, I was like, right, okay. And just felt a bit... It was a little bit hard work.
But maybe that was the expectation element.
Yeah, I think so. And I find that can sometimes be the issue with a lot of Alan Moore's work.
Yeah.
Because there is, you know, such a legend and, like, you know, the library of his work is so sort of vast and different that, you know, people will talk about certain books. You think, oh, this is going to be good. Like for instance, V for Vendetta, I didn't.
V for Vendetta, I think, I don't think it works as a graphic novel. I think you had to be reading it in Warrior.
Yeah.
I don't think it works. It's so sectioned out. It's such short lumps. Yeah. I don't think it. And I think, to be fair, I like Watchmen. I'm very fond of it. I read it kind of once a year, but it's because I see it as the chapters that I was reading. In other words, the issues that I was reading. And I see, for example, my favorite sequence is the bit with the psychiatrist.
That's fantastic.
And I really like that. I really like that bit. But there's bits of it that I'm not fussed by the text story. I'm not fussed by the ending. I really like a couple of characters in it, and I'm not fussed about the Manhattan scenes. I find it a little bit boring, to be fair.
Yeah,
the stuff on Mars, but I do see what it's doing, and I do think as the big two books, weren't they, was it Dark Knight and that, I do think it's overtaken Dark Knight in reputation.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think that maybe part of that is because people are more fond of Moore than they are of Miller,
you know? Maybe.
Yeah,
he seems to have kind of Miller's got his name gone through the mud a bit.
I can't really recall
why.
Holy Terror, maybe, or something.
If I was talking about, you know, slightly more modern books, should we say, and if I had to pick out a title, there was one that I just couldn't get into, and I know there's probably going to be a few of our listeners going, what, when I say this?
I was given the
big hardcover collection of year one of East of West.
Okay.
And this is Hickman and look at the name now.
Yeah, I've got it here. I can't think of it.
Dragota. Nick Dragota,
yeah, Nick Dragota.
And I haven't connected with it yet. I keep trying. Okay. I've had his book for, God, I hope he doesn't realise I've still got his book. You know, I keep trying to connect with it. But sometimes with Hickman's work, it can either grab you immediately. I mean, if I was to compare him to a director, he's almost like a Christopher Nolan. Do you know what I mean? Just technically, just absolutely stunning. Everything's on point. But sometimes there's not an emotional connection. When Hickman gets me with that, then I'm in, you know, like,
I think
we've raved about the X-Men books, so that's, you know, yeah, but I don't know, I haven't connected with this one so much.
I do I do like it, but I had this thing. Have you ever watched a movie once and you thought, I'm never going to watch that again because I enjoyed that for what it was and I was in the right mood for it?
Yeah.
You know, there's that happens quite a lot. For example, Twin Peaks. I never watched the new series of Twin Peaks again because I watched it 9 episodes ago and it had such a profound effect on me. I'll never want it. And that's what happened with me with the first volume of East of West.
Yeah.
I read it and I found it to be a sort of Western poem, really.
Yeah.
And I found it quite affecting to the point where I don't want to be let. I know it's weird. You've taken a piss out of me around this round Fitzcarraldo before, but I don't want to be let down by it, so I'm not going to read the rest, which is a terrible way to look at it. Terrible fanboyish OCD way to look at it.
Of the moment. Sometimes
they really are.
You watch a film and you just think, oh, that's shit. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, you give it another go at some point, and you're like, actually, this is really good.
Of a comic is hugely affected about where and what mood you consume it in. I'm just looking across the road. I read Day Tripper on a plane on the way back from the States, the Fabio Moon, Gabriel Barr book, and I was hugely affected by it and I absolutely adored it because I was on this virtually empty flight and it was just me and the clouds out the window. And I read this book and it was so enthralling that, it's just that moment in my life. And I think reading a lot of books you've got to subjectively be affected by it in that way, I think, sometimes.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
I think with East of West as well, it was the big oversized hardcover, it's a big bastard. So I think there was that thing in the back of my mind, cool, this is quite daunting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so as well. And that's, I think, why comics lend themselves to the pulpy, to the disposable, because we're not intimidated by the read of it sometimes,
That intimidation with the House of X. Hardback, and that's like...
Yeah, you can't put that in your rucksack. That's the problem.
It's fucking intimidating,
Yeah, so there you go. There's a bit more insight into the way we think.
That's an interesting one. And no, I'm not saying any of those books are bad. They're just that my one certainly just connect with me.
I don't think any of the books we mentioned we're being like, we're not criticizing any of these books. We've just sort of said, I just don't get it. And that's what Alan's question was.
Yeah, that's fine. It's like comedians or music. You have your taste. And
Well, anyone who likes Mrs. Brown's Boys can fucking write.
That's true. Yeah. Why are you listening to this show?
Yeah.
Don't consider them a comedian.
Speaking of a great comic series, though, Hugo Boylan, he asked the question, what's the best complete comic series to binge in a weekend?
Oh, fucking hell.
I've got a good one for this.
Go on then.
Depends on your stamina for this.
Oh, my word.
Okay. So if you can go a long time and you got a nice quiet weekend, Scalped.
Oh.
It's about 9 trades,
yeah,
but it flows well.
Okay.
It's fucking the best crime comic I've ever read.
Wow,
it is amazing.
That's one that is a gap in my reading. I think I've got volume.
I've never read any of them.
I've got volume one. It's been in my bookshelf for ages, and I think I need to get that out and give it a go.
So it's based on mostly on a reservation and the area around a reservation and the central characters, and no one's a good guy, no one's a complete bad guy, and there's a sort of guy that the head of the tribe runs the casino and he's like a drug dealing pimp, and but even he has got a couple of redeeming features, and there's a hard man who goes around killing people for him, and you realize a bit more about him as you go on, and it turns out that they give this up in the first episode, in the first issue, but it turns out the central character is actually an undercover cop, but he's also gets addicted to drugs and sleeps with the prostitute, his girlfriend, and it's really intertwiningly, labyrinthingly dark, but just Jason Aaron is a genius in telling the story. There's a few different artists on it, but
the work he's done over the past, since he jumped on the scene.
He's a proper right man.
He's proper. He doesn't mess about and he just does it.
Now, I'm going to say, if you haven't got that stamina and you want something shorter, Mage. Mage is 15 issues. There's 3 cycles. It's the Arthurian legend told about a guy who's a bit of a loser.
15 issues?
It's 15 issues per cycle. So there's 3 cycles. Yeah, so I can't remember, is it Discovered, Defined, or I can't remember what they're. There's three set, and he's done them in different decades, 80s, 90s, and then recently. And it is just brilliant fun, and it's got little dark moments and little light moments, and Matt Wagner is just a genius of storytelling, and it's basically, you realize it's Matt Wagner by the end of it. He's just telling his own story as if he was the reborn King Arthur with a baseball bat instead of Excalibur, yeah. And he fights demons, and he's a family man by the end of it, defending his family. And you can easily consume it. It's only 15. They're not long reads in any way. And it finished about 3 or 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. Really, really good stuff. And a high point of indie comics, you know, genuinely so. The first one was with Kimiko, then it moved over to Image, and it's the last series, I think, was out of Image again. Yeah, good stuff.
This the more I think about this question, the more it becomes one of my favourite questions. Because it leads you to think about what... Because a complete comic series, do you know what I mean? Beginning, middle and end, you know, this is someone who, let's face it, has achieved something magnificent because they've completed something. So shout out to anyone that's managed to do that. And I've just thought of a couple right now. Okay, if I was going to say, I mean, it's 60 issues. I think it's 60 issues, yeah. The Punisher Max run by Garth Ennis. Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
I think, you know, if you've got the stomach for it, because
That's a lot of book, isn't it?
That's a lot of book. I mean,
because you get
like,
past the Dylan stuff, it becomes slightly more dense, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah. And it is very much sort of like a, you know, it's an anthology series. You know, there's lots of different stories going on there, lots of different flavors. A lot of them
Russian bit in it is like rough.
It's brutal. It's poignant. It's got amazing one-liners. Absolutely fantastic artwork going throughout.
Ennis is great, isn't he?
Yeah. Likewise, a lot of people are probably going to say like Preacher as well. You know, that's the same sort of thing.
The obvious one. Why the Last Man's another one. Isn't
Why
it?
Why the Last Man is an obvious one. That is
100 Bullets. Yeah, there's all those Vertigo books that were designed to be that in-and-out book, weren't they?
Yeah.
That 60 to 100 issues, yeah.
I think a lot of our listeners are probably going to say, and he's done a couple of complete series, and Terry Moore, I think there's quite a few. You've got Strangers in Paradise, you've got Rachel Rising. What was that superhero one he did?
The one about the girl with the armour.
He completed that as well, didn't he?
But isn't he wrapping it all up at once now? Aren't they all part of... aren't they all appearing in... Is it called 5 years or something? I can't remember what it's called now.
Could be. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he's a bit of an indie legend, Terry Moore, you know, the work. And, like, certainly, yeah, there's lots of it. I love Rachel Rising, but I haven't read any of the other stuff, so...
Yeah. I read Strange in Paradise and loved it. Although it does change stylistically because he's kind of growing up a little bit or growing into different styles as he goes along.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's a good one. The Eltingville Club by Evan Dorkin. Read that one.
Could go for Cerebus.
Oh, mate, that's a long weekend.
that's a bank holiday weekend.
Jesus.
I probably, my classic I go to is Invincible. I'd always fucking read through that. Yeah. Again, that's an absolute ton.
Yeah, but that's an easy read as well. A lot of these things, they are easy to get into, aren't they?
Blast through that. Maybe not so much. Maybe a day read is like the Batman when he has the No Man's Land.
I was going to say the Long Halloween.
That's a good one. Yeah. I'm trying to scan because I don't have all my comics here at the moment, so it's hard to see which ones I'd recommend.
From a sort of indie point of view, I would go with Alex. I haven't mentioned this for a couple of years, but Alex Robinson's Box Office Poison. A really personal and nice and touching story.
Yeah.
And Scott McCloud, which he did before he did Understanding Comics, which is a book called Zot, which is a really fun sort of, it's a cross between sort of indie American black and white comics and manga with a sort of cartoon lilt to it. But it's got sort of quite a lot of sort of deeply underlying reasons to it. Really good stuff.
Yeah. One of my favorite indie books, I think, that just came out at the wrong time, Boneyard by Richard Moore. Which is supremely fun. There's 4 volumes of it, and it was one of those things that it ends a little bit quickly because indie comics around that time, you know, it ran from 2001 to 2009, I think, and it was only 28 issues the run. But that's great stuff. There's 4 volumes of that, and they've actually released recolored ones. I absolutely love that series. That's one of that's an influence on me in terms of sort of pacing and comedy and stuff. It's just great fun, that series.
Nice.
Okay.
I tell you what I like doing is getting. I've got a couple of long boxes where there's just random stuff in, and just grabbing that out.
Yeah,
and then
I love
like
doing
taking
that.
A wodge as I read through them. Usually, I get in shit for that because like they end up piling up by the side of the bed, and my wife goes, "You put them away."
Obviously, we don't need to preach to the converted. We don't know when there'll be a 4th book. But if you've got a weekend and you've got all three books of Porcelain, read them.
Yeah, it's fucking lovely. Yeah, that'll break your heart.
Yeah.
And there's, like a there's a collected edition of Martial Law, which is a great read.
Oh, man. That's fucking great.
DC put it out about 3 or 4 years ago. Really good.
I missed it. They did a Death's Head collection.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. I've got to get that. Also, I've pre-ordered the Pat Mills Slain the Horned God.
They're doing
another collection coming out in April, I think it is. So I pre-ordered that. Got to fucking have that.
Yeah.
Nice. That was my, I think, like, first remember time seeing, like that kind of painted artwork of Simon Bisley in an issue of 2000 AD. And I was like, this is fucking amazing.
Right. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, the first time you see Simon Bisley's work, it does kind of blow your fucking brain out your nostrils.
Yeah.
You don't see it that often, that's the reason.
Yeah.
There's a book called Jew Gangster, which is by Joe Kubert, which is an amazing, if anyone hasn't read any Joe Kubert, I recommend that as an entry point. He's an influence on so many people, and we don't hear about him enough.
No.
I really like his stuff. Yeah.
Obviously, this is the sort of question as well that could be a thread on the Facebook group.
We'll go nuts. So. We'll go nuts with this. Yeah, this is a whole episode, this question.
Because I know a lot of our listeners will be like, oh, yeah, you know, what about this? What about this? Do we have any others?
There's more, isn't there? I think. What's our favourite Kickstarter or Indiegogo at the moment?
Oh, I can't pick. I'm not going to talk Kickstarter or Indiegogo. I'm just not going to do that.
Apart from give my one?
You should back go El Marvo.
Back El Marvo. Camp VA07 by Jones McCulloch, which I'll talk about in a minute.
Might have a bit of news with El Marvo this week.
Oh, okay.
Stay tuned.
Right, okay. Right. There's one other which I think is worth looking at that people might not have realised is Mark Ryan and Mike Grell have got a project called The Pilgrim on Kickstarter. And Mike Grell is the dude for me. I fucking love that geezer's work.
Nice,
Longbow Hunters broke my heart, and you know, Warlord and Maggie the Cat and everything he's done. I just love the geezer's artwork, and he's got a you don't see enough of it. It's called The Pilgrim on Kickstarter. I've just backed it today, actually, funny enough.
Nice.
Oh, excellent.
Another one before we head into the shout outs etc. Another one by Kirk Spencer. Cartoon or film property that you wish would return to comics. This is interesting.
Okay.
There's lots of we've talked about adaptions, we've talked about time.
It's got a return to comics, so it's got to have been a comic beforehand.
Yeah, I think if we stick to that.
Yeah,
because there's lots of ones I thought, oh, this would be. I don't think that's had a comic.
yeah, that's what I was just thinking about one, and I realised it hadn't had one. I'm going to say, go on, you go first. I'm trying to think of mine now.
I think certainly in terms of animation and things like that. They were making comics out of everything. So even though we may not be aware of it, but there was probably, you know, a weekly comic that lasted for 5 issues of something.
Yeah.
That you wish would return to comics. Ooh. A lot of them do, though, some of the bigger ones, don't they? Like, especially like if you look at IDW, they've got like Ghostbusters and all of this.
Yeah, lots of licenses.
There was a comic which was a cross between, this is going back, I think AC Comics put it out off the top of my head, called Ape Nation. And it was a cross between Alien Nation and Planet of the Apes. And it was, what if the Alien Nation spaceships had landed in the time of Planet of the Apes? And
fucking hell, yeah.
I fucking loved that series.
What a mashup. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And I think they've recently done Tarzan meets Planet of the Apes and King Kong meets Planet of the Apes. I think they can get back on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Zombie Planet of the Apes. Boom.
Yeah.
Done. Walking Dead. Job done. Riot Kirkman, you fuck.
Yeah. Somebody's got to have done an erotic Planet of the Apes somewhere, haven't they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Elric meets Planet of the Apes. Conan on the Planet of the Apes. That's got to have been done, isn't it? Surely.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why this one's stuck in my head. I don't even know if it must have had a comic book. I think Brave Star would make a badass comic book now.
Right.
I can't remember hardly anything about that fucking show.
I tell you what, Dan. I'll write it. You draw it, motherfucker.
Let's do it.
I just want to see Dan draw a cyborg horse with a shotgun.
Yeah. It's a great concept.
Yeah.
Was it 30-30, the horse?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Do you know if anyone's doing any good Doctor Who comics recently?
Fucking hell. put
no
a tweet out.
Probably not, eh?
Yeah,
I put a tweet out this week, and I it was slightly in reference to the Dot 2 stuff, and I've not watched it, so I can't tell you whether it's good or not. But right. like, they went back and fucked around with the Dot 2's origin story. And I think if you take any classic character and you're tempted to go, let's go back and fuck around with the origin story, don't do it. If you can't write the character going forward, don't go back and fuck around with their past. I remember reading the Spider-Man, and when they turned his mum and dad into secret agents, I was like, what the fuck are you doing this for? This adds nothing to the story. It's just shit. It's pointless.
It's like Batman's dad and all that crap.
Yeah.
Need it. I try every season, because I'm a diehard Doctor Who fan, but I absolutely love the original series. And I try every season, I go back and I try one or two, and it's just not working for me. I'm just finding the scripts for the last three, probably 4 or 5 years, I'm just like, nah.
Because I've seen a couple of the Jodie Whittaker ones, and I thought, this is great. They got a female doctor, what they can do with this. And then it's just really like, oh, it's, I thought that's what I was hoping you weren't going to do, is exactly what you fucking done. And it just, yeah, not for me.
Why is the doctor need about 10 assistants?
I don't know. I said this in a podcast this week. I was on Stuart Moraine's one, and I said, look, bad script writing is, my best example of that is Doctor Who, where you can tell exactly every dramatic line that will come out of their life, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, not this time, or, you know, watch out. You know, you can almost like predict what they're going to say, because they're just written by this sort of cliche machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I said it, I did another tweet about Bravestar, saying, oh, Bravestar was always political. It kind of like being smashed over the head constantly by politics in when I'm watching these shows. And then they say, oh, it's always political. I was like, man, fuck off. You know what I mean? I don't want to be fucking getting constantly, oh, this doctor is talking about the Conservative government. Oh, is it really? Oh, it's fucking so interesting that.
I'm so glad that Corbyn comic sold so well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's piles of that everywhere, are there?
If you know what I mean, this allegories of Trump's war and stuff. So please, I can't have this anymore, man.
Yeah. I love like when you see these little sort of behind the scenes, or, you know, you see these documentaries of, like, you know, how this was made and stuff like that. And the real story is, yeah, a publisher came up to me and said, see this toy? Write me a comic.
Yeah.
So I wrote a comic.
Like, Micronauts was amazing, because they've given it to someone. He's just gone, right, I'm going to come up with something mental around this.
Yeah. I mean, G.I. Joe, they gave it to Larry Hammer, and he then made that universe his own.
Well,
he's made such a legacy on that it's still going to this day.
Yeah.
It's, and like, if some of the characters are absolutely, like Snake Eyes is just a fan favorite.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's really been done justice for years and years and years, but he's still beloved.
Those comics shaped Daniel Butcher as a man.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, who's your favorite G.I. Joe character, Dan?
Fucking hell, that's a tough one. It's a real tough one.
All right, not the ultimate. If you had to pick like one of your favorites.
You get to do a story them yourself. You get to do a solo story.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a dude, a character, Beachhead.
He's so fucking weird. Ace. I was just about to say, I bet Dan likes Beachhead.
Beachhead's great.
Yeah.
He's just a real hard, tough nut.
Yeah.
Constantly got a balaclava on and never takes it off.
Yeah, he never takes it off. I remember his fact file on the back of the packet was like, he gets up at 5 a.m. and goes for a 10-mile run or whatever.
Yeah.
With the first hour of his day. And when you're a kid, you're like, 10-mile run at 5 a.m.
He's just like a real military man.
Yeah.
And ain't got no time for fucking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'd probably go for.
Yeah, and he's actually Dan Butcher in disguise.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't fuck around with the Butcher.
No, you can't. You can't. But thank you very much to all the people who sent in questions.
Yeah, some good questions there.
This week. Truly appreciate it. There was another one from Tom Spark, who just, what's the funniest comic book ever? I think that's impossible.
Ambush Bug.
Oh, man.
God, Timer, you were quick.
I always say there's some corkers in Viz, but single issue.
Yeah, Viz, yeah.
I don't know. That's tough.
That is tough. We're very carefully answering outside the Indian small press scene, because there's an awful lot of funny stuff going on in that scene. But
John Tucker's stuff is fucking ace.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Tom's stuff. Todd Oliver. Fucking just
amazing. But like,
Tom
Spark stuff, like, my son has laughed at his stuff. It's not pitched at me, but it works to the audience it's pitched at.
Yeah. Totally.
Can I also just say shit and death? That was pretty funny. That made me laugh.
Yeah. And that's just in general. He's not actually talking about a book.
Back to shit again.
Yep. It's cyclical. Anyway, yeah, so thank you everyone who got in touch this week. Do we have any shout outs this week, gents?
We already fucking mentioned about 50 times, but the Comic Art podcast, I appear on it, and Vanguard Book 3 gets reviewed on it.
Yeah, we take that. We're taking that podcast over. Ian's been making me laugh today. I've been having a chat with Ian. Nice. I love those guys. They're top guys.
Yeah.
Even if they did throw a word in, didn't they? Yeah. We're coming for you as well, Pete. We know what you've done. Yeah.
We're coming for you. We stop threatening people every time on this show.
Right, I copped to the fact that when he said jazzercise, I laughed, and it sounded stupid. So I'm copping that one didn't work. I'm giving them 3 out of 4 on that one.
Because you said about the Comic Car podcast, like, we're kind of take them on in the quiz, and I thought, oh, that's not too bad. And then when Pete came on and said,
I was like,
holy fuck.
I've got faith in you, boys. I've got faith in you.
Might be all placed, but
we'll have to do a little bit of training, maybe. We'll have to do a training in the run up.
Could do like a montage of us reading comics.
Yeah, me like walking about with the clipboard. Right, who's in the Avengers?
Oh God. Yes. So, any shout outs this week?
No, I haven't really got any. I mentioned the Grail pod, the Grail Kickstarter. I'll go subscribe to the Spark because we like that. It's good stuff, and little breaking news. There's a little bit of talk about Springworth 2 on the horizon. So
that'd be fantastic.
That.
Yeah. There's definitely an audience for that, mate. So
hopefully there's a little bit of planning. Andy suggested a sort of subject, and I made a title up, and we were laughing to each other last night. So yeah, it's a good chance of it.
That's how these things start.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Nice. So without further ado, let's recommend some comics. We've got cool shit in general.
Yeah.
How many have we got this week, gents?
I got two.
You got two. Do you want to start us off then, Tony?
Okay, so I start with this announcement at the end of this one, actually. There's a reason for this one. So, Jesus Freak, I read this week. It's a slightly older book, so it came out, I think it came out off the top of my head, like May last year, something like that. The hardback certainly did anyway. It's written by Joe Casey, art by Benjamin Mara, colours by Brad Simpson, and letters by Russ Wooten. It's a hardback, 58 pages, $14.99, written by Image Comics. It is... an irreverent but intellectualized reimagining of the Jesus story without any of the sort of, I don't know what you call it, genuflecting to Christian mythology.
Okay.
I speak this as a cold-hearted atheist, and it is, it's basically, it's kind of a mixture of what if Jesus was a martial artist and in a sort of some kind of weird sort of drugged out fantasy world. There's a bit of that going on.
Sold.
Sold. There you go.
Yeah.
That's kind of the cheap explanation of it. It's sort of a mystical Bruce Lee Shang-Chi comic kind of, but there's much, much more to it.
I wonder
it.
Why you read it.
The year is 26 AD. A young Nazarene carpenter is having some trouble adjusting to the violent world around him, and he's having trouble knowing where he fits in. There's some great kung fu versus Roman soldiers, sort of gladiator style fighting, meshed up together. It's the hardback's a bit of a... I don't like the design of the hardback, actually. I'll take a picture and send it to you guys while we're talking, and I can get your opinion of it, because I just thought it was... I'm going to send you one image, which is the outside image, and one image, which is from inside. And I think that the outside image... What they do is it's very bright yellow, and it's got a sort of tile effect with ready orange Jesus Freak across the middle. And it doesn't do it a service. I don't think it really shows what it really is like. It's sort of it's a little bit boring. I've just sent it to you now. What I've also sent you is from the inside cover. There's a sort of intro page, and next to that is almost like a movie homage, Shaw Brothers poster homage to it, which I prefer. I think given the right sort of lighting and coloring and stuff, I think I prefer that.
Yeah, that cover's not doing it for me.
No. Yeah. What do you think, V? You're both designers, aren't you? Sort of.
Yeah. The cover is very. I think it's representative of the sort of time and the kind of. It's got that sort of grindhouse kind of like the colours or black exploitation. You know, the exploitation films. That's what it's got that kind of about it. But I think, I don't know. It looks more like an album cover that they've squashed onto a book cut.
Yeah. I'd be much more drawn to that second image, which, for those that can't see it, is Jesus as the central character making a sort of kung fu pose. And above him is a sort of a fire beast and Mary Magdalene floating in the air above them. And below is a sort of a load of Roman centurions with spears and swords heading, running out to somewhere. And it's one of those movie posters sort of tells a story where I think that would work as a cover for a graphic novel.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, yes. I like the idea of having the cross on the cover.
Yeah, which isn't immediately obvious.
No.
Which, you know what? It took me a while to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the cover on the inside is very, it's sort of old school comics as well, like you say, like Paul Galassi and stuff like that, isn't it?
So. Oh, there's some homage to that geezer in here, I've got to be honest with you. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I think that second image, for me anyway, personally, I would have liked to have seen. And it's the sort of hardback that doesn't have a dust jacket. It's printed straight onto the cover, which I kind of prefer these days, actually, because I'm not going to get a book dirty. In the old days, I would have got it dirty, you know, reading it in my rucksack or whatever it was, you know. But it's these days, I don't mind that so much. There's an introduction to it, which Casey makes it very clear that it's not a religious story. I don't think he's a religious person at all. And he got a lot. I think he gets a lot of crap about it from the American Christian bellends. Yeah, who didn't understand what he was doing.
Nice use of the word bellends.
Thank you. He stresses that you won't find any spiritual answers in this comic, and I kind of make him wrong about this. It's much cooler than that.
Yeah.
He talks about having done some research, and he balances that against the creativity and fantasy that's on show in the book, which is, it works well. You can see there has been some research. There's a little map at the start and stuff like that. Jesus is a confused man who is plagued by nightmares, hallucinations, talking animals who are really demons. And he uses that rage and he channels it into teaching himself Kung Fu, obviously, because that's what Jesus did, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ideal. Mm-hmm. Even though Nazareth is thousands of miles from Hong Kong and the Shaw Brothers movies, but there's a little bit of that feeling to it. He meets Paul the Baptist, who is in the middle of baptizing people, unsurprisingly, in the River Jordan. And Paul the Baptist, is it Paul or Peter the Baptist? Paul the Baptist, isn't it? I can't remember. It's been a few years since I was at Catholic school.
I think it's Paul. Yeah.
And he's a borderline, the Baptist is a borderline psychotic cult leader, essentially, is how he's drawn. You know, it's a self-aggrandizing man who eats leaves and honey to survive, but he's also this sort of political agitator who wants to push the Jews towards violent action against the occupying Romans. To begin with, Jesus is, I suppose, in keeping with the Bible, more of a passive person. He refuses to accept his destiny, as was the story, wasn't it? I think Jesus goes into the desert, accept his destiny, and he, as he's baptized by Paul, he begins to sense, I think Casey describes, sense his higher self. They get attacked by some Romans, and that's where the Gulasi level martial arts kick off. The big bad in it, the big sort of pantomime villain, super villain almost, is Pontius Pilate, and he's drawn bigger than everyone else slightly. He's got a sort of golden hue to his skin that bounces off his chest plate, you know, his Roman gladiatorial chest plate. At one point, Jesus ends up in a very sort of bloody, for anyone that has ever anything by Casey or Mara, you know, they don't shy away from blood and stuff like that. And he fights this crocodile headed demon. I won't ruin what happens, but there's certainly a revelation that happens as part of it. Casey writes with some real gravitas, but does so with a sort of po-faced challenge to the reader. There's almost a wink. You know, Mara can never be completely taken seriously because the violence is so over the top often. There's lines like, "For I am what exists between mortal concepts of good and evil." You know, some demon says that and you're thinking, really? That's really dialogue? You know, it's like that. "I make my home within the shadows of the human heart," says one demon to him. And you think, okay. There's definitely nods to Shang-Chi in this because there's a sort of third person commentary in a different colored word box that is like the monologues at Shang-Chi. So no one's ever read comics about Shang-Chi, he monologues. Even when he appears in other people's, like, you know, Moon Knight or something, you get a monologue from Shang-Chi as well. And little boxes, whilst not immediately said by him, they relate to him and stuff like, "This was a battle for humanity's salvation," he'll thought Jesus, you know, there's little things like that that go on. So it's really clever. You can read the book on different levels. There's a genuine, really, there's a real darkness to it, but there's also a depth. And as I say, there's this sort of wink at the unmoving obsession of organized religions. There's a little poke, you know, seriously, you believe this nonsense, you know. Mara is normally when you see anyone who's read anything by Benjamin Mara, and I know that when Stuart McKeown came on, he recommended a book, didn't he, by him. Just trying to think of the name of it now off the top of my head. Oh, Terror Assaulter. I wrote it down. One Man War and Terror. Do you remember when Stuart McKeown came on? He recommended us all a book. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was one of the ones I think he might have recommended it for you, Dan, actually, off the top of my head. But he's very underground, Mara. Slightly uncohesive in his work often. But in this, I think with the use of the colour art and the writing by Casey, it pulls him round slightly. It sort of beats back a little bit his Rebel Comics vibe. But it does well. I mean, this is not a normal comic, and this is not an ordinary, you know, this is completely anti-establishment, even just from the subject matter onwards. But there's a little bit more cohesion to what he's doing. They're a little bit more Image Comics, I would say, which I kind of enjoyed. I enjoyed the change. I like Mara's work, but I enjoyed that change. But yeah, it's pretty visually experimental as well. So you don't lose out a huge amount on that. Yeah, it's a really interesting style. In the same way that when Casey worked with Huddleston on Butcher Baker, if you read those guys have read that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, he doesn't contain him, but he focuses him, I suppose. I suppose is the way of putting it. And there's something really fresh about this book, extraordinarily so. I read it, and there's the odd book when we read it, it plays on your mind, isn't there? And this one played a little bit on my mind. It's an Image book, so you can get it. It's easy to find. It's an Image Comics, or you could look at _ Benjamin Mara _ again. You can find stuff like him. American Blood is a book by Mara's that Nick sent me as a present, and I really, really like it. And along with that, we have got a little bit of announcement in that the main reason I bought this book actually is because Adam has got Benjamin Mara to do the variant cover for Atomic Hercules 2.
That's fucking ace.
Very excited about. So we had Landgraf for issue 1 and Benjamin Mara for issue 2, which I'm extraordinarily excited about. So, which is, I think he's almost finished drawing it now for our bit. So I'm hoping that Mara will be any day soon. We'll get to see something from him. But yeah, it's if you haven't read Mara, it may not be for everyone. It does feel a little bit undergroundy, and it's a little bit underground dramatic, I'm going to call it. It's a little bit po-faced. You kind of don't know where satire and where just uber violence begins and ends sometimes, but it's a beautiful little artifact. It's a really nice little book. I'm really glad. I think it's probably my favorite thing by Mara, and I am fond of Casey's writing. If you've read Sex or stuff like that, or like Butcher Baker's, Casey does some interestingly transgressive work, which is always worth a look. So that's my first one. Who's next?
Dan, do you want to go next?
I went on a bit of a spree reading Comic House titles.
Oh, nice.
So I read Soma Eden, which is, I'll give you the blurb, a spaceship sending Goldilocks planets using a new android advisor called Soma to teach each one new set of colonists. It feels very much like a kind of an alien covenant type story.
Okay.
That's an interesting read. It's kind of, I feel like the art, no, having a pop of the art, it's black and white inks. It feels like the story's bigger than the art. It's really kind of like a big story. That's worth reading. Definitely check that out. I read Dino Beasts 1, The Hunt, which is absolutely fucking nuts. Artist Angst by Kev Brett, which is just on there. It's volume 2. I didn't realize that's volume 1. There's lots of really amusing strips in it. One that made me laugh is there's a shot of like the artist at the table pulling a pose, and he's on the banner behind him, and there's all the books in front of him exactly the same pose, and someone asking, oh, did you draw this? And I think we all had that. But what I really enjoyed was the book Nothing
by
Gareth Hopkins. Have you guys read this?
Yes, I read that one about a few months ago. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's kind of littered throughout with kind of observations I think a lot of us have probably had, or one similar.
This is with a little numbered points, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a couple that's like, oh, fucking hell. Like, you know, there's that graphic that's like Facebook things. You're like, you're offended. It's like, because I'm in this. There's so much of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fucking hell. That's me.
And there's some purposeful, I didn't realise it, I talked about it a couple of months ago, but I didn't realise there's some purposeful spelling mistakes that relate to one of the comments, which is interesting. Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, it's one of those things you can kind of dip in and out, but I kind of blasted through it in the same one. It's really interesting. I'll see if I can get to one where, like 14, it's been 6 months since Jim's been to the gym. He reckons he'll start going again over Christmas.
One of my favourites is such and such doesn't know who she's waiting for, so she smiles at everyone who walks up. And little things like that, I like that. Sort of thing. But there's an extra material in it. Is there's a much there's a differently drawn sort of sharper metal-y sort of abstracty thing at the back, which isn't part of that narrative, isn't there? Which I really love the art on those.
Yeah, it's almost, it kind of pulls out.
Yeah, yeah, I really like that stuff.
So Clyde's been drinking 2 extra litres of water a day and his piss is still dark yellow.
You're right, though. It's the little observations that we make and we never write down. And we think, oh, that's an interesting aside. But the day moves on and this is what he's written down over, obviously, I suspect, a longer period of time.
God, yes. There's a lot of these. Yeah, you sort of pick these up and I just haven't, like, oh, fucking hell, yeah, I've had that thought or I've had this.
Yeah.
Because what Henry thinks he hears someone come down the stairs, so he takes out his earbuds to talk to them, but he turns out there's no one there. Yeah. It's really bleak. Like I was reading it today, I was like, bloody hell, this is quite bleak, but really, really well observed and really well done. That's on Comic House, so I'd go and check that out.
Nice.
I've yet to read Gustavo's one, but I've actually got
good stuff,
in print,
man.
So I'm gonna have to find that.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that Gustavo's one of those guys, we need to treasure those print copies because I think it'll be taken off quite soon.
Yeah. I think Vanguard's
about a year, aren't we? Yeah.
Vanguard's at number one.
Yeah.
I don't think it will be for next week. I reckon Gustavo's going to be taking that slot. That's fine. That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Can't be champ all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it comes to the awesome comics quiz, then we are champs all the time.
Big talk, Vince.
I know.
You know I've got your back 110%, but...
I know. I'm not going to Conor McGregor us, don't worry.
We need a boot camp, don't we?
Yeah.
Prior to the next one. Let's have a boot camp.
Oh, God. Anyway. Yeah, so there's quite a few there of Dan's to check out. Yeah. So, yeah, check out Comic House. Yeah. My one, I've got one book and one show that I'm briefly going to talk about. Hmm. Now the book itself is a Kickstarter reward that I got. It's actually a webcomic that's on a little bit of a hiatus at the moment, but mainly due to the person doing a Kickstarter campaign, so I had concentrated on that and putting the books together and like redrawing bits and stuff like that. The book itself is called Orbit Encounter by Karis Jones, and the Kickstarter collection is issues 1 and 2. Now this book is the synopsis on the back. The research ship New Discovery, out of reach, dormant, lying in wait for nearly 5 years. But now it finally gets its wake-up call. All reports say it was abandoned following a catastrophic emergency evacuation. But is that really the case? Oscar, the young and enthusiastic salvage mercenary, has been sent to retrieve the data bank stored on board the derelict research ship. It should be a simple in-and-out job. But Oscar soon starts to unravel a macabre mystery still lurking inside the ship. As you do. Publicly, no one knows what happened aboard the ship. Is Oscar just another tool in the cover-up? Sounds like standard, well, not standard sci-fi fare, but, you know, you got your setup there, you know, derelict spaceship, someone going to investigate, and that's pretty much what most of the book is. And I'll get onto the artwork, and, you know, anyone who's, certainly if you play video games like Dead Space and things like that, there's lots of investigating the ship when it's all dark and you don't know what's going on. That's what a lot of issues, well, most of issues 1 and 2 are, as well as the mystery. Think about
sorry,
it.
Did you get this in a, sorry, mate, did you get this in a hard copy? I missed that.
I got a hard copy, yeah, because it was right, a Kickstarter campaign. It's a webcomic that you can check out now.
What, a UK one, or?
It's a UK creator.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is one that I've been completely unaware of, you know, and I think it's just someone that's been hard at work putting this webcomic out, and then, when I discovered it, I just thought, oh, I'll check this out, and saw there was a nice sort of hardcover. I say hard, hard copy version.
Yeah.
It's a nice sort of matte laminate with a bit of gloss varnish on the cover as well. so I just took a punt, as you do with Kickstarter sometimes. And this was a very pleasant surprise. I'm definitely going to... the webcomic itself has gone on a bit further than the actual Kickstarter, like the book. So I'm gonna go back to where I am with the book and continue reading the webcomic, I think.
Right.
But yeah, the thing about that setup sounded pretty standard, but it's actually an anthropomorphic style book because Oscar, the main character, is an otter. this is a mystery sci-fi horror book, and there's certainly there's some monster bits in there, grotesque abominations and such, and like, you know, scientific experimentation's gone wrong. But the story focuses on this little. He's got a Russian accent, which I've noticed that the creator puts in the speech bubbles. You know when creators would put that sort of the tweak on the wording just to try and get, you know, like a Russian speaking English, and there's that certain tweak to the language.
Yeah, we did it with Cockney Kung Fu, trying to get like a Cockney accent into. It's not easy. Yeah,
it's a difficult, and they do it just right in this book, I think, because it immediately puts you in the sort of voice of what that character is. But yeah, the anthropomorphic artwork is lovely. I mean, Oscar, there's some concept bits in the back and sort of detailing that's really nice. But one of the things I loved about the artwork was the lighting, because this is very much someone wandering around a derelict spaceship that's completely dark, and you know their only light is certainly the flashlight that they've got going on, and that's what a lot of these pages are. And certainly when you get a book printed, that can be a challenge when you've got a lot of dark pages.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure if the creator had an interesting journey trying to get it in print and trying to get it just right, because it's dark, but you can still, I mean, looking at the print copies, you're not losing any detail, you're seeing what you need to see. But it's really effective, really atmospheric. There's a bit more. There's some sort of hints to further sort of backstory. It starts off, because I thought it was just going to be that, you know, because from the Kickstarter campaign, that was the kind of feel I got, that it was just someone aboard the spaceship. And it started off with a sort of prologue that seems to be a flashback. It's the one part of the book that doesn't really feel attached to the rest of the story at the moment, so I'm interested to see where that ties into everything else, because it didn't start how I thought it was going to start. Like chapter one is how I thought it was going to start, but yeah, it's just a really good book. Like, you know, if you're not aware of it, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are, because this made its Kickstarter campaign and then some, enough to like get. I mean, if you've got like a matte lamination on your fucking book cover, then you've done all right.
is that the life? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
I'll say that on my gravestone. Add some.
Yeah, put some matte laminate. Well, you're obviously rolling deep if you're putting it on your gravestone as well. Because anyone who knows about print quotes is, if you get a print quote for your book and you're like, "That's not too bad. Ooh, I want that sort of shiny bit on the cover."
Is that the same as spot varnish? Is that what we're calling?
That's
the same
what it
thing?
Is. UV spot varnish. Right. It's like, yeah.
Okay.
You got like the matte background, and then you've got the spot varnish. Yeah. As soon as you put that on it, the cost goes up quite a bit. And this book,
only a little,
yeah, just a little. Put it into a quote calculator and see what comes up, folks. but as well as the book, I got a little enamel badge as well, so I'm all right. Anyone who's been following this show, yeah, it's just a great little story, a nice little bit of a sci-fi horror with an extra bit of mystery involved. There's a foreword by the creator that's quite interesting and talking about a lot of the thought process is going into it, which is very interesting to see. You know, from the foreword, I can see that there's a lot more going on in this series than necessarily what you'll read in the book itself to start with. Because the book itself to start with, you could just read it for a cool sci-fi horror, you know, quirky sci-fi horror, because there's an amazing otter as the lead character. But there's a lot
I love an otter.
Yeah, otters, they don't get enough play in comics, do they?
No, I like the lady on the weather who once referred to an otter's pocket. That would make me laugh.
I knew you were going to ruin this. I knew you were going to ruin this, Tony. But it was only
not ruined. It's not ruined. What do you think came first? His name Oscar, or he decided he was an otter first, and he called him Oscar. Oscar the Otter is like the coolest name ever, isn't it?
He's I think it mentions it somewhere. I swear I read it somewhere. But yeah, there's cool little bits of back matter in the back. If you go to the website for the webcomic is orbitcomic.com. Obviously she's been a I think it, I believe it's a female creator. Apologies if not. Well, I've got to say that because I fuck up so many things with the show. I got Angoulême wrong on bloody Twitter the day after. But there's, if you go to the webcomic orbitcomic.com, you can follow the creator on Twitter at Rocket_Akita. That's AKITA. So find the link to the web shop. I mean, they've obviously been fulfilling the Kickstarter pledges first, which is brilliant, which is what everyone should do.
Yeah, that's quite right. That's what we're doing. Yeah. Yeah.
So now it'd be interesting to see when the book comes back as a webcomic. So cool. It'd be great. So yeah, check this out because it's maybe one that's gone under a lot of people's radar. It certainly did with me. So
can I interject quickly to show that as a hard-hearted atheist, I believe that little baby Jesus is watching me, because literally while I was talking about that comic, Jesus Freak, I got a message from someone who called Word for Word Bible Comics.
Ah, yes.
Please, will you give my Kickstarter a little shout out? The Gospel of Matthew, Word for Word Bible Comic. So there you go. It's shouted out for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just to give a little balance between religion and atheism, we give that little shout out.
And I've completely forgotten, the name escapes me, but we've met that creator a couple of times.
Is it Nick Polario or something? Is that his name?
Yeah. Done quite a few successful Kickstarters, I think. So,
nice.
And the other little sort of recommendation what I put out this week is I finally got to check out the animated series Primal. Do you guys know about this?
No.
I'm aware it's like a dinosaur thing or something.
It's by Genndy Tartakovsky, who is the creator of Dexter's Laboratory and Samurai Jack. And Primal is the latest show, of which there are five episodes. It was on Adult Swim and Cartoon Network and stuff like that, I think. There's going to be 10 episodes in total. The next 5 episodes will come later in the year.
Where is it now on Netflix, you say?
It is. I watched it on all 4. So if you're in the UK, it is on all 4, which is Channel 4's streaming site. So you basically just get one ad and then you get the show. They're only about 20 minutes an episode. No dialogue. And it's about a caveman. I don't really want to spoil anything. And I kind of went in avoiding everything, and then there's caveman in a time of dinosaurs. It became a different show than I thought it was going to be, and it is fucking amazing, absolutely fucking astonishing. This is like, we talk about some graphic novels that have no words are just sort of like, this is just stunning. It feels there's certainly a graphic novel like feel to it. I think you guys would absolutely love this. It's brutal absolutely brutal. There's a scene later on in the series where one of the characters is absolutely mental and is beating up a load of characters, and it just takes like a whole minute just to focus on when someone's punching a character in the face and their jaw is literally being pushed off their face, or they've slapped them so hard that their face rips off. I fucking love this. I seriously recommend it, guys. It's
I watch virtually no cartoons. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about my life, but I read comics and I watch movies and that's about it.
I find it very hard
to connect to one. Yeah.
I know, but this feels like one that I think you would like.
Just the violence, isn't it?
There is violence. There's also it's really really emotional. In certain parts,
and okay, also, I'll give that a go.
Definitely, I think you guys would love it. I know a lot of our listeners are aware of it and have already watched it in some way, shape, or form. If you're unaware of it, get on it because you will.
That'd be right up Dan's street, because after he's sort of really violent, he does get a little bit emotional, don't he, Dan?
Yeah.
Speaking of really violent, have you watched Shogun Assassin yet?
No, I haven't yet.
What's wrong with you?
I know.
It's great.
I got to put aside some time to watch it. I think I might have some time to watch it soon.
I love the way whenever he chops a head off, the blood spurts up.
I know. I'm looking forward to that. It's that crazy sort of over the top stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
And there's a sale on Comixology, the word that we shall not, say too much these days. But there's a sale on Comixology of the manga for that as well.
Lone Wolf and Cub.
Although we did talk
separate Shogun Assassin as well, I think.
Yeah.
Oh right.
We did have the big Comixology discussion last week, so check it out if you haven't already. Yeah. If you want to know our views on that.
It's got a line wide sale on, which I bought a couple of things from today.
Let's all shit on Comixology episode.
Yeah. But at the same time, keep an eye out for titles that are still cheap. especially with the indie books, because I discovered a series. I still had a browse. I still looked through, and I discovered a series that's like 99p an issue, about 30 pages. I've got 5 issues to get through, so I'm taking a punt on it. So there's still.
I'll tell you what, I spent a few quid and bought Decorum from Jonathan Hickman and Mike Holliston this week, and fuck me if that isn't good. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
Worth yeah. $5.99?
I'll wait for the price to come down, my friend. Yeah. But,
Yeah. Tony's like Scarface, though, so, you know, what is money? What is money to him?
I just shag Michelle Pfeiffer.
I thought you were about to say you could shag your shelf.
I would literally have sex with this comic, though, to be fair.
Oh,
it's that good.
Oh, wow. Do we have any more? Did you say you got one more, Tony?
I got one more, babes, yeah. Okay. So, Camp VA07, issue 1, currently on Kickstarter, yeah. Written by James McCulloch, who was kind enough to send me through the first issue. Art by Jonathan Scott. And I'm going to say Jonathan's style has a little bit of the Matt Kent stylings to it. I'm going to say a little bit, tiny bit. Reminds me a little bit of it. Have you had a look at it? I'll send it to you.
I've had a chance to look at it. James sent it through to me as well. It looks beautiful. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. So sell me on it, Tony.
Okay, mate. So letters by Rob Jones. 26 pages, full colour, currently on Kickstarter. This is just issue 1. It is a continuing story, I think. It's the opening panel could not be more prescient, because it starts with Canada has closed its borders. We are looking at a worldwide pandemic. Line 1. however this one affects all the animals, the disease is called the Red. That's in the past. It flashes forward to now. I won't ruin it beyond halfway through the book, because I don't think it's fair, but and it's the world has degenerated, and it looks like someone or something is being farmed for their blood, and they're being overnight they're having their blood taken from them, the farmers and the people in this story. It may or may not be an alien race. I'm just putting it that way. So it's a really interesting, fresh story. It's not something. So you've got a society that has sort of retroactively become a sort of agricultural community in the future because of the lack of, you know, there's not that many people about because of the plague and all this sort of thing. And a spacefaring alien race are basically farming them for their blood. Pretty interesting, pretty bleak, and also very strange. But I won't spoil anything beyond that. It's very worthy of backing, and I think you're missing out if you're not backing it. I think it could do with a little bump.
Yeah.
I think it's got about 15 days to go, and it's about 40%, so it could do with a little bump. But, yeah, I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think by James McCulloch, I think is worth reading. The geezer's an imaginative and a good writer, and he's got some really strong horror ideas in his writing a lot of the time. Yeah, I'm really interested to see where this goes as a comic series. I really like the fact that they're putting it out as a comic series on Kickstarter, and I think there needs to be more of that. So see it as a pre-order and get your copy. Yeah, I've pledged. Looks amazing. Yeah,
nice.
That's my last one.
Yeah, I read that through today. I enjoyed it. It's fucking got a nice little sinister edge to it.
Yes, it has. Yeah.
And I'm gonna go off and read it now. So
good man.
There you go. And it's that time of the night where we're gonna shut up shop and go off and read some comics. So thank you very much for listening, folks. It's been another fun one. Thank you to everyone who got involved this week. It's been a good laugh. And, if you want to talk to us about anything or ask us some questions, or maybe we got something wrong, or, you know, we get something wrong every week, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah. Always.
Always. But let us know about anything that's happening, or if there's any announcements that need to be made about any events or anything. Let us know, and we will announce it in the upcoming weeks and stuff, because it's definitely an interesting time. So,
and for those that haven't heard, Cardiff Comics Carnival is cancelled and has been put off to an event, a time in the future. Yes. Would have been the 28th this month, but it's been put off.
Yes.
Yeah.
So likewise, if there's any other events, if you guys out there have planned something, or you know, if you know of other bigger stuff that's going wrong, let us know, and we'll shout out on the show, because the best way to tell people is to let as many people know as you can. So you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we'll be just being cool. No.
Yeah.
Actually, we don't post on there as much as we should.
It's kind of the opposite of what we are, to be fair.
Yeah. But thank you to anyone that has got in touch with us on the Twitter recently. We've had some lovely feedback about the show.
Yeah.
In recent weeks, and we truly appreciate it. Whether you be just
some new listeners,
yeah, new listener, old listener, creator, comic fan, whoever you are, we bloody love you all, and thank you for sticking with the show. And if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and where we post up this show every week, and we also post a thread on our Facebook group, Awesome Comics Talk, which is always a good time. And there's lots of stuff going on there, lots of comics debates, whether you're talking about artwork, conventions, this show. Keep the conversation going on there. Join up. You only have a couple of questions to answer, and if you're all good and you want to talk about comics without any hard selling or any of that nonsense, then you can join in on the fun. And there's going to be that sort of comic art swap that Dan's been sorting
out. I can't wait for that.
Yeah. So you're going to want to join that group to find out what we're talking about there, because that's going to be hilarious when that April the 1st. Is that when all the artwork's going to go up, Dan?
Yeah, that's when it's all going to go up.
Oh, what a day good that stuff. Is going to be. That, what day that's going
to
be.
Can't wait to see that one.
Yeah.
It's going to be April Fool's Day. I didn't mean for it to be.
Make it as like rude as you like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come
yeah.
see the fools.
I mean, there's going to be some funny ones, and there's also going to be some absolutely stunning ones if any of the old art threads or anything to go by. But yeah, thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a review. We haven't had a review for ages, so
not since October.
Should we beg for one?
Yeah. Please review our only if it's a 5-star one.
There you go, only review us if it's 5 stars. There's your pull quote for the back of the book.
Listen out for the episode I do with Stuart Mulrain and Tom Stewart at the Nerds this week, because we talk about reviewing. Or I say the opposite of that.
I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you, man. Cheers.
Yeah, plenty to look forward to. And if you listen to us on any of the networks like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
Yeah, funny as you mentioned that, we're on Pod Big Brown Dog Barking at the Back Door.
One day I'm just going to finish the show with that.
I'd like that. It makes me laugh when you do this. Somebody messaged me and said that we'd fallen out because you did this to me.
No,
it's really? For other reasons.
it's not that, folks. It's something else he's done. He knows what he's done.
I know.
He knows what he's done. And one day he'll pay. Oh, yes, he'll pay. But until that day, where can people find us online, Tony?
neveronanything.blogspot.com. Send your books in for Honest Review Month is coming in May.
Yes.
Send them in. S-O-S-E-Z-O-H-Y-Z on Twitter.
It's Comment honest, flat, Zebra.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's honest and constructive.
That's
so,
exactly.
Yeah. If you want to try and learn some things about your comic book making, or, you know, if you've got a harder skin.
Seen by me. Yeah.
If you've got a tougher skin and you just want to learn some stuff, then, you know. And certainly, if you do this, be prepared to communicate with Tony afterwards, because that's what it's all about. It's all about communication.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If something's failing and you can get feedback on how to improve it, why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to improve your craft.
Yeah. And where can people find your buy your comics, Tony?
Oh, neveronanything.bigcartel.com.
There you go.
Nice. Atomic Hercules will be going live on there on Tuesday.
Amazing. And speaking of amazing, Dan, where can people find you?
Thanks, V. You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, Enrique Vanguard at VanguardComic.com. And if you want to buy a book 1, 2, or 3, or all three, you can go to comichouse.com. They're all on there.
And nice. What is that other podcast you run? Is it the Lakes Comics Art Festival?
Yeah. we run that podcast.
I did literally laugh out loud when I realised what I was walking the dog. That's not a euphemism. When I was listening to their podcast today and I realised what they'd done, and I started laughing. Because if you give it out, you've got to get a bit. And we don't mind, do we? Do you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. Good lads.
But
yeah.
They'll pay.
Yeah.
Get a bounce.
Exactly.
You can find me on social media at jesterdiablo.com. I don't have a shop. That's all I have to say. I need to. I'll probably sort one out later.
You've got Comic House, can you?
Later in the year. Yeah. If you want to get some of my books, go on Comic House. But
we've still got the awesome pod. I get stuff from Big Cartel. Get griefing us on that.
Yeah.
Griefing us.
Yeah, I get emails. People sometimes send stuff in through Big Cartel. It's annoying.
Oh, they say, can you review my book? And they send it through that. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, that's weird.
Don't communicate with us through our shop.
Yes. Usually, I put it in the special filing cabinet. The reviews, the stuff comes in there.
Is that the Wicker Man?
the trash bin on the phone. No, I'll just leave it unread. Just don't bother. So, if you've done that, please send it. Yeah, please send it through the proper channels.
Yeah. And we've given you all the channels just a minute ago. So if you don't send it, then we know you're not listening. And if you're not listening, why on earth are we going to talk about your book? That sounds harsh, but you know we don't do this for people just to like cold
if
sell
I was,
their books.
We're nastier. I would take the next person who tries to do a drop and run on their comic book and just spend an entire fucking show ripping the fuck out of it. But we're not about that life.
Yeah.
No.
We're all about positivity. And
on the pod, I should say.
On the
we're
pod.
Not about that life.
Oh, yeah. The WhatsApp group's an absolute tire fire. Anyway, have a brilliant week, everyone. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Look after yourselves.
Wash those hands.
Yeah, wash your hands and read loads of comics. Yeah.
Don't touch your junk if you haven't washed your hands, is my advice.
That's just a daily...
Wash beforehand, after.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. And, And also do the same if you're going to be handling your comics, because then it'll just, you know, they'll have...
Yeah. Who knows where those comics have been beforehand?
Exactly. But read loads and let us know about more.
So, yes.
And go forth and have a brilliant week, everyone. Thank you. We hope we've entertained you for the past couple of hours, because this is just... We're all a bit tired and a bit mental, so I don't know. I have no idea what we've just been talking about.
It's been all right. I quite liked it.
Fine.
We get, do you know what? It's weird. We get quite high ratings, quite high listening figures for when it's just the three of us. It's a weird one, isn't it?
I don't understand why.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
Probably because they don't have to listen to all the other shit we talk. That'll put anyone.
It's just like, you know, when you see a really kind of trashy film that you've seen loads and loads of time, and you get this turn your brain off and free will. That's essentially
you know
when the three of us
are. Yeah, exactly.
We're the show that, you know, people listen to and really like, and then they're with their other half and say, you should listen to this, and it starts playing, and the other half pulls a face like, what are you talking about? This is
shit.
Yeah,
then they get divorced.
Yeah,
I know a couple who split up because she played the tape he was playing in their car, and it was a Johnny Cash tape, and she left him. It's similar, isn't it? We're the Johnny Cash of podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh, I can deal with that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Tony's got a ring of fire. Anyway, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. And from
Stay awesome.
See you on the other side.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We haven't even got to the end. From Dan, Tony, and myself, have a brilliant week. And because they've been so naughty, they have to say it at exactly the same time this week.
Easy. Do it.
What do they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Oh, brilliant. Nailed it.
Bye, everyone.
Job done. Don't ever have to do that again. It's never going to get better than that.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, kill me now.